Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half bucks, gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party. Moolah, Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, flush it in the air, huh? From the rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw them up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half bucks, gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Wrestling or Hap Up podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth, and with me, as always, my co-host, my tag team partner, the Red Velvet to my Kira Hogan, Mr. Matt Scott. Matt,
yes. We're back. Woo! Season five.
Yeah, sure.
What do you mean?
I mean, because we said we don't know the season, so we just another episode.
Okay. No. I didn't know the season, and then now I know the season. We're on season five. Plus, it sounds good that way.
Okay, sure.
Like five? Better than four, but six is too much. We'll get to six eventually.
All right.
All right. We're sorry. Mari, how's it doing? I'm very caffeinated today for this season five premiere of the Wrestling Rehab. By the way, thank you for not making me a Hogan. I don't want anything to do with that family. Wow. Whether they're related by blood or not. And I do like red velvet cupcakes, so that works out really well for me.
Who doesn't like red velvet?
Good morning. Good day, Mari. Whenever people are listening, how's it going?
I mean, it's going good. I can't believe it. It was such a long month and some change. Mm-hmm. And like, I've never felt like the same period of time feel like it was extremely long. And yet, when you look at the actual days, it's like it was basically nothing.
It was about 4 weeks.
I know.
But it felt like a lot longer.
Four or five.
Than that.
Something like that. Yeah.
I will say those nights that I spent, this is emotional, but like crying myself to sleep when I thought to myself, like, where's Mari? Why are we not podcasting together? I had dreams where I was like, oh, we just finished the wrestling wrap up, like 2 hour dreams. And
wow,
it was all fake. It wasn't real. We didn't have any of those conversations, but now we can have them. Now that's what this is all about.
I miss you too. I truly miss you, Matt. Of not course. Wrestling. No,
I miss you and wrestling. Wrestling probably missed us. Maybe is kind of where I would leave that. But we're back. Nice. You know, doing the thing. We skipped over. We dodged the releases, which was nice.
I mean, we still got to talk about them. But
oh no.
So I mean, we've been gone. So like we asked our loyal infamous Facebook group.
Yeah.
Job Has a Squadcast Facebook group, home of the RHAP patrons who love wrestling, or just RHAP community in general that loves wrestling. So if you want to get in and talk with us and all the other wrestling fans, you can let us know, reach out to us. We'll get you into the Job Has a Squadcast Facebook group. But we asked them, so what did we miss, Matt? A lot.
Yeah, there's a lot to catch up on. And it's interesting because obviously we just came off of WrestleMania Backlash, which
that name will
never stop annoying me.
It pisses me off. Like
literally the logo and branding of it is like, so wait, annoying. This is WrestleMania.
So annoying.
Oh, wait, no. This is the Raw. This is a completely different pay-per-view with the same name as two different pay-per-view. Well, I guess Backlash is gone, but it's a lot.
Yes.
So we'll talk about it.
Basically, that was basically a glorified house show. So let's get into it. We're going to talk about the highlights of the month, question mark. if you want to follow along, we have a handy highlights playlist that's included in the description of not only the podcast, but the YouTube page. So just click the description below. Hopefully you're watching us on YouTube at robhasapodcast.com/YouTube. Yep. I mean, YouTube.
Rob has a website.com/YouTube, or you can go on YouTube, search Rob has a podcast, or you might already be subscribed. If you're not subscribed, hit that subscribe button and hit that little notification bell, because are you doing if you're not subscribed for all of the content on Rob has a podcast? Look at that.
Thank you, Matt, because the plugs are not plugging for me today.
The plugs are plugged up. So what coming back from a break is.
So let's talk about WrestleMania Backlash, which just technically happened last Sunday, even though, again, it feels like it was a millennia ago.
I mean, a week is a long time these days. Come on.
Truly. Oof. Truly. When I say it really felt like a house show, like I don't even like it's kind of weird because they went from doing their like really big events on like Saturdays, you know, those last few pay-per-views were like on Saturdays and they felt like must watch, and WrestleMania Backlash really felt like it's very skippable.
I didn't even process the fact that it was a Sunday. I watched it on Sunday, but I didn't even think about the fact that this was a Sunday instead of a Saturday. It didn't even, like, I didn't even blink at that.
That's weird. Yeah, it was in Providence, Rhode Island. Shout out to some of the listeners who were able to go. They sent us amazing pics of their seats and stuff like that. So shout out to you guys. We love it when you share your pictures with us. And it looked like everybody had great seats.
is everyone in, like, I don't even know whose family you'd be in is everyone in the family, like, just getting the comp seats up close and personal? I mean, and I'll just
understand.
Look, rich. And you know what? We love it because your listeners here give us your money or become an RHAP patron, speaking of rich. But anyway, one thing I would say is that it's cool, too, because we get all these moments where listeners are like, hey, I got back into wrestling because of you, or got interested because of you, and now I'm going to shows. So hopefully the shows aren't disappointing, but it happens, and we're not responsible for that.
Yeah, so it truly, like, when I tell you, I was like kind of like going back and forth. I don't even know what I was watching that night. I don't even think anything was truly on that night, but I was just like, not, I was like, okay, I was checking Twitter. I was like, is Cody and Seth going? Okay, let me tune in. Like, I was just really only tuning in when I saw something might be like interesting online. Like, that's how, like, crazy I did not care about it at all, but like, you know, I guess
I just was gonna say, one of the things that automatically kind of turned me off of this, and you know, we'll talk more about the women's division later, but just looking at the card and seeing only one women's match on the card was frustrating. Ashley wrote in with the question of, like, can we discuss how disrespectful, I hope I emphasize that as much as you wanted it, Ashley. Can we discuss how disrespectful it was that we have an amazing women's tag champs team right now and an amazing Raw women's champion, and yet the only women's match we got on the Sunday was Charlotte versus Ronda, which, by the way, I would say match of the night. by far. Oh. But maybe because the rest of the show was not really doing what it was supposed to be doing. But yeah, it was just disrespectful. Like, where were all of our because everyone says that we always make things about race. But like, yeah. Where are Black women's champions? Where's Naomi? Where's Sasha? Where's Bianca?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And yeah, and we'll talk a little bit more about how the women's division is like getting, it's just so good right now. Minus, you know, some of the, yeah. the one of the top titles, but like, yeah, it just didn't make sense. Like the card itself, again, when I tell you it had there were only six matches, you know, on it. Yeah. Like it truly, and a few of them, let's see, one, four of them were, of course, WrestleMania. You know, that's the whole point of WrestleMania Backlash, is just basically always the, you know,
run it back
from WrestleMania. And then they made we thought we were going to get the Usos versus RK-Bro in the unification match, but then they turned it into like the six-man tag match,
a house show main event, basically.
Exactly for like no stakes. I was like, you just took the stakes out of everything. Like, the none of the titles are on the line, so I truly don't care. I mean, it, you know, it's a serviceable six-man tag match, but it was just kind of like, okay, you know.
Yeah. Well, but that's always the thing for me, and that I always come back to, because obviously it's pro wrestling, and you know, we suspend disbelief along the way in a lot of ways as we follow the stories. And obviously, Mari, we know what wrestling is, like it's predetermined, mm-hmm. and all the things, but like, you need stakes, you need reasons for exactly. characters to be motivated to do things. And if they're just fighting for no reason and you can't wrap your head around that, then like, how do you get invested? So
yeah,
it's tough to see when people, yeah, because they have writing teams. They have writing teams. You would assume, unless they're gone, we just never heard about it. But
no, they have writing teams.
We'll they're still later. There. They, you can team is the okay. They're still there. Got it.
Yeah. they open with Cody and Seth Rollins. So that was just kind of like, y'all. That's kind of the one match I truly was looking forward to. So,
well, don't you appreciate? Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, let's just get the big business out of the way. You know, maybe yeah. they should have ended the show with like a Happy Corbin, Madcap Moss or something.
Oh, that's
like that.
Ooh, horrendously. No, horrendously.
I mean,
no.
But I'm always just saying, always put the thing that we care about least at the end so that we don't have to stay until. Yeah,
that's not how that works. They No, I know. Right. But yeah, so like, so one of the first things we'll talk about. So speaking of Cody Rhodes and Seth,
yeah.
Seth Rollins, I thought their match was great. Did it top the WrestleMania one? I don't know. Only because I guess now you know, going into WrestleMania, we thought we might know who it was. Then it was who he was. And then our expectations, mm-mm. of course, were like, we didn't know what to think. And then it was great. And so. Yeah. Here, I still think it was great, but I think since we had already seen them put on a great match, it was just like still great, you know? And I guess the biggest surprising thing was Cody still won again, because I'm pretty sure a lot of us probably expected for them to split 50-50. Because
I didn't even.
WWE.
I didn't though, because.
Well, WWE can, you know.
They could do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And they'd like to do whatever they want. Right. But like, I wasn't surprised because, I mean, I guess there was, I heard from the fans, there was a lot of speculation. But in my mind, if the story ends up being, Cody, you weren't prepared to, I wasn't prepared to face you at Mania. Now I'm prepared and I could beat you. Like, that kind of takes a little bit away from Cody's team as a top star. And so I'm not surprised he got the win here to be like, yeah, I'm Cody freaking Rhodes. And I'm legit, and I'm actually as good as I am. So it made sense. But I think for me, because of that, it was just like I didn't need it. But I mean, it's a story. They're continuing the story.
They are continuing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really interesting. So Cody is getting like really pushed. Like, they're putting him everywhere. So, I mean, you know, we're not jinxing it, hopefully, but so far, I mean, the jump is looking great. He's yeah. I mean, I swear every day it's a different, you know, the reporters are following him. He's at house shows kissing babies, basically. He's I only bring that up because we got a question from Edmo. They said, what do you think of the alleged tease for the Money in the Bank winner main eventing WrestleMania? So there was a Money in the Bank, like a hype promo, because Money in the Bank is in July, I believe.
Sure.
Yeah, it is. It's in July after Hell in the Cell. Hell in the Cell is. Yeah, I think Hell in the Cell is in.
Flopped. Yeah. They did some weird stuff last year and the year before, probably too.
Yeah, so Hell in a Cell is June 5th, I think, and then I don't know.
That's soon.
Maybe I'm wrong. But anyways,
I don't know.
They're coming up really close together, and in the Money in the Bank promo, Cody Rhodes is talking, and he says, "Where one female superstar and female superstar win the Money in the Bank and main event WrestleMania," and everybody's like, what?
Cody, I know you just got back, but
that's not how it works.
Exactly. Wouldn't it be funny? I don't know. We'll see what happens, but
it was like, was that like a, so people were like, was that a spoiler, or like, what is happening? Because it just truly doesn't make sense when the Royal Rumble is like right there.
But it's also not it's not a spoiler in the sense that we know how they changed their plan. So even if it was a spoiler, it's not going to be a spoiler.
It just doesn't truly make sense. Maybe if we're thinking like five steps ahead, it's like the Money in the Bank winner can main event mess at WrestleMania if they cash in and win and then go on as champion to main event.
Everyone's, you know what I'm saying, on the main event now, though.
Yeah,
like, that's the whole Vince McMahon thing. Oh, everything's the main event, and which, like, obviously it's not. But also, Cody, I don't know, Mr. Rhodes, if you have heard of The Rock, but I believe that we're looking forward to The Roman and The Rock going head to head at Mania next year. So,
yeah,
just saying, stay out of the way. Stay out of the Hanoi family business.
Well, so, and then again, shout out to the Drop Out of the Squadcast Facebook group, because that's what we got another question about with long-term storytelling.
Yeah.
Oop, let me pull it up here.
You know what? I will always say, I always feel so surprised when I hear the questions.
Yeah.
Oh, we have another question. We have people who listen. Thank you so much for listening and caring and for asking questions.
Yeah, so we got a question here. Oh,
from
Justin Feinberg. WWE is not exactly known for his long-term storytelling, but the setup is there for Cody Rhodes to be the guy to eventually beat Roman Reigns, right? Like, so, I can see that, but then it sparked a long discussion in the Facebook group, because because people were like, well, Drew's getting pushed, you know, Drew versus Roman is getting pushed. And so the thing is, like, but Roman has two titles, you know, and it's unified in a sense that it's on him, but it still seems like they'll eventually be split. So that's good. So the thing is that Drew take one title and does Cody take another one? And then somebody was like, but what about, you know, The Rock is coming. And then they were like, well, I kind of agree that The Rock and Roman don't truly need that title to be on the line. They are fighting for the head of the table. So
if
Roman somehow loses both those championships beforehand, maybe even losing one of them due to Rock interfering, that could be a good propeller for that. Because I truly agree. I don't think they need the titles for that. Or a title for that.
Hmm. That's an interesting thought. And there's a lot there to unpack. So
one,
I don't think that we're headed to Cody Roman Reigns soon. I think that in my mind, the smart thing would be to somehow not have them touch, like, over the next year. I don't know what that looked like, but you definitely don't need to rush them together. The Drew thing is so strange to me. It's always been so strange to me, because I don't really get why they push him like that, but
Yeah, I mean,
and,
yeah,
and then
he has
then,
a very large yeah. subsection of fans.
He does. He does.
And he's and cool.
For,
yeah.
And he is mm-hmm. cool. And he has a sword. And, yeah. You know, people
right.
like that, Game of Thrones, you know, that type of thing. But anyway, you know, like on top of that, though, I do think that I just want Roman to have the championship forever. Now, I yeah. do think, though, it would be a little, I don't know how I feel about the idea of The Rock beating him for the championship. Because, like, in a world where nobody, like none of the active roster could beat him, and then The Rock does it, it kind of looks a little funny. So
exactly.
With you. They just need to find some way to get the championships off of him without, you know, while he's still established as the head of the table.
Yeah. So exactly. So I could see a scenario where it's like straight up him and Drew, and they build it to like him and he actually loses to Drew, because I think if there's somebody he can like legitimately lose it to where people won't be like, oh my God, you know, I could see it being Drew. Like, I mean, Drew does nothing for me. We've talked about this, but I would rather him lose it to Drew than again to back to a Brock Lesnar or something like that, you know? And then I can see like if I could see them change the belt in between that road between Royal Rumble and, between Mania. Royal Rumble and Mania by again introducing The Rock to have him like maybe Cody wins Money in the Bank and then cashes in on him while he's down. I think that's how they could take that last title off of him. I think yeah. Roman would have to get cashed in a way that like can protect him, you know? I could see something to that effect. So I could see it and I like it. And then we got to talk about it. And the reason why people, this is like getting a lot of steam and stuff is because Roman just like he didn't re-sign. He's had a long contract to begin with, but I think he negotiated for a new contract where he gets a lighter schedule, because after a house show in Trenton, New Jersey, he basically was like, you know, you guys been rocking with me. I've been here for a few times. And just in case I don't come back, like, I just want to let you know, I appreciate you. Yeah. So
it sounds dark depending on how you're reading
how that, you. But, yeah. And oof. So, of course, all the journos were like, yeah, Roman just signed for a lighter schedule. Like sounds like he got like that Brock Lesnar type deal where he's doing way less house shows. They just announced he will not be at Hell in a Cell this year. So again, right. Wait, is it Hell in a Cell? Yeah, it's Hell in a Cell. Oh my God, the pay-per-view schedule is so in flux.
Wait, hold on.
It's Hell in a Cell and then Money in the Bank.
Of course it is, earlier? Mari. Of course it is. That's what I'm just going to confirm.
Yes, pulling okay, up the I knew it.
Schedule,
Hell in a Cell was
June 5th. You're always right, though, Mari. Sunday, June... Oh, another Sunday. Sunday, June 5th in Chicago is Hell in a Cell. Saturday, like July 2nd. Saturday, July 2nd, 4th of July weekend in Las Vegas, Money in the Bank. And then after, July 30th, though, is SummerSlam in Nashville.
July 30th?
Why are they moving Summer?
Why are they so close?
They should move SummerSlam back to September or even October just to like make, you know, stretch out summer. Give us that summer vibe as long as possible. Wow. But I think they did it. I know they did it late August last time, so I think they probably talked about this, how it was early
August for years now.
Well, they're playing games July 30th, Nashville.
July 30th. What is that about?
Look, Mari, if only we knew. If anyone knows what that's about, if anyone works for WWE in their scheduling office, hit us up.
So what's going to be their pay-per-view for August?
Nothing.
Yeah,
they have one. They have the Clash at the WWE Clash at the Castle Saturday, September 3rd in Cardiff, Wales.
Oh,
do you like how I said that?
Cardiff, I thought it was going to be so maybe one of the Blood Money pay-per-views.
Well, no. Look, I'm like, is the UK also involved in the Blood Money? Because we do have WWE Crown Jewel says unannounced in October, sometime in Saudi Arabia. So that's October.
Yeah,
makes sense. They'd love to go there in October. And then, you know, maybe just to complete this list, Saturday, November 26th is Survivor Series in Boston. I don't know if they're doing a pay-per-view in December or not, but we'll see.
The last stretch of the year is always so random. That's why we've been taking breaks. And I guess we know when we're taking our break. Because what is that? What are they going to do in between like July?
The end of July to like, we'll figure it out. Oh yeah. But like the breaking thing is, they will probably also do WWE day one. Yeah. Let's pull up our calendars and figure out when we're taking the next break, when we're having season six
podcast. Wild
time.
So Roman is like preparing for like the next step, and he's gotten to that point where he's been doing it, like him and the Shield when they debuted in like 2012, right, on the main roster. Like he's been doing it for so long, so he now finally like has the clout to do what he needs.
He has really been up there and active for so long. Mm-hmm. But it's so weird in the conversation. Actually, the weirdest thing to me that happened while we were gone was this whole Randy Orton 20-year celebration, because I didn't realize that that's a thing that we did. Like that we just were like celebrating. Where's Shelton Benjamin's 20-year celebration?
Oh, that's messed up.
I mean, that's my question.
I get it. But Randy is super over.
Sure.
I'm surprised
It was just a good feel good moment. Like they didn't even turn it into a storyline. And then it's awkward. Whatever. I mean, a storyline that people care about.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, I like Randy Orton. I like Randy Orton. Talk about a change. I just the shackle that he's shackled to is just I cannot fully appreciate
not the shackles. Oh,
the ball and chain. So
who doesn't wear shoes?
Yes, exactly.
Oof.
So like with Roman and Cody, I think the biggest thing to take away from here is like it's going to be very interesting to see how, because they got to take this long reign where they're basically making it so it's going to be hard for another modern wrestler to touch his streak makes even more sense. They are like etching him in the history books, because when he walks away, he's going to walk away. So it's very exciting, you know, whenever they're done doing this whole unification match with RK-Bro and he came out on Saturday. Oh my God. On SmackDown, it was like, you know, we smashed them all and who's next. And it was, you know, it's really great. It's Roman being Roman. So is it getting a little tedious at this point? Maybe a little bit,
but I think I think part of it for me is, okay, because like thinking about the Rock match, assuming that happens, let's say it's going to happen at WrestleMania next year. Who are they? Like, are we supposed to assume that Drew is going to be the next guy, or Cody, or like, I don't know. I get concerned because I don't know who they're building, and they're not really building. New stars with but Drew doesn't really count as a new star. Cody in a way is a new star, but that's like different. Yeah. Like it would be nice if they actually were building people up to kind of fill in that spot Roman can't be there.
It makes me wonder again, like how, I mean, I know he was like in the tag team dregs when it happened, but it also makes me think like with Big E's neck injury, like where could we have been with that as well?
Oh my God. And you saw the news on that, right? I think
it's going to take longer.
Which is,
it's not healing as thing.
I think we talked about this a little. I think we talked about this a little where we were like, it's good, but hold your breath because it's a neck injury and you don't.
It's still a neck injury. Exactly.
You know, you never know what could happen with that.
Yeah, so. It's not. Big E came out and said his neck was not healing as quickly, but as well as it's supposed to.
Yeah. And I think they were saying he might need a fusion, a neck fusion of some sort, which
would suck. which yeah. would really suck. Like in retrospect, yeah. like the yeah. neck fusion is something that took out like Nikki Bella for long periods of time. Of course, we know Edge. You know,
Sting had like Sting. Either Edge or mm-hmm. Sting had like four neck fusions
yeah.
with their injury. But like obviously we saw with all of these cases, like they were all able to. Edge is definitely an extreme example because
yeah.
he was gone for like 8 years. But
yeah,
like, yeah, everyone else was able to come back eventually, but they had to all take out. And that's not cool.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like it.
And you know, it all depends too, because is it neck? Because I think that's Paige as well. Paige had like neck fusion issues, but I think she had also like concussion issues on top of it. But anyways, we don't know anybody's medical.
There was a lot going on.
Yeah, we don't know anybody's medical history. So, but like, I guess what I'm saying is the good thing is it's like as far it's just the broken neck so far, and not like also like brain injury or anything like that as well.
I just want to say I appreciate you as the medical professional really respecting HIPAA here.
I know.
We're not like, look, you don't know people's medical
exactly
situation. Yeah, so. it's rough, but oh, I mean, we weren't even yeah. really talking about him, but like all the best to Big E.
Exactly. So speaking of Edge, at WrestleMania Backlash, we know Damian Priest was barred from ringside with Edge's rematch against AJ Styles. Fortunately for him, though, another person dressed in black came to help him a little bit. And this reveal was, I actually liked the camp of it all. It was so campy, was it not? It was just, so we just, from the back, we're just seeing a person all in black. They're all like all tall and they're all hooded. And they come in, they kind of like bow to Edge a little bit. The crowd in the back, what I really liked about this moment was the crowd in the back, because the person was turned away from hard cam. So,
yeah.
you know, the audience can't see it except for the crowd in the back who can, and just slowly watching the crowd like look in and realizing who it is was actually really kind of cool. It made the moment.
Yeah.
But we get Rhea Ripley standing up. We get her like throwing the hood back, which of course everybody was talking about how she like basically emo dye blacked her hair and then like did this look over her shoulder at the hard cam. It was great. I was like, this is high drag here. Like,
yeah. And you know what? I just, the crowd reaction was the best part of it for me, because I was nervous as I watched, because I was just thinking, oh, they're going to start chanting Rhea, 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 like the spoilers everything else. And then, you know, I'm looking at this masked figure and I'm like, okay, that's definitely Rhea Ripley. I don't know if those were her. I can't remember if those were like her normal pants, but I was like, oh, that is definitely Rhea Ripley.
Well, I mean, yes, but also I think
shoulders.
Her stature really yes. lends well to the mystery, because she
commentary was like, I don't know if they directly said who is this man, but
they definitely
were giving that energy.
Exactly. And so it all really, really worked. And I mean, we've been saying it, people have been wanting it. We've like, have Rhea join Edge. And so we get the kind of the celebration the next day, the Judgment Day. Edge is like on one. Like, he is truly on it. Like, this stable is so good. I know, it's so amazing. Like, I'm so happy for him. Like, he is getting this like one more run as like evil personified, and giving disciples. We know we talk about how we love when they add women to stables. Like, I'm so excited, and calling Damien the punishment, and calling Rhea, I think,
the
like
juggernaut.
The juggernaut, the executioner,
there was a lot of things.
It was so many. Too. It was all so good. Like, Edge got me so hyped.
Titles.
Yeah.
He really did. And it's so funny with Rhea, because the black hair really changes so much.
It did.
And it's so subtle too, because it's like the look is all. This is just Rhea Ripley that we're looking at here. And hopefully you're watching on the YouTube version to see the pictures and the other visuals we'll pull up here. But damn, Damn.
She looks good. Yeah. And I'm so glad. I'm like, again, I'm so happy for her because like she's always had it. And like I said, I never really enjoyed her in NXT because of the presentation they had her in NXT. And then when she got moved up to the main roster, I was just like, man, they just keep like handing her L's. She kept taking these Charlotte L's. I'm glad the hair is, you know, it's kind of crazy that she needs to go back and get it like professionally done, it's crazy in a sense, like you can tell it's like it looks like a box dye to me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
But not in a bad way. Not in a bad way. It fits the persona, but I'm just saying like
she doesn't go to a salon. She just dyes her hair in like a rest stop bathroom. In a basin.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But I love that it's like she's no longer, you know, they cut her hair to begin with so she would stop getting those Charlotte comparisons. And so this is what she needed. She's now like full on heel. She has Edge talking that talk for her, you know, and then they're also like a faction where it's like, not necessarily is the goal titles. It's just kind of like to hurt people, which is like, love it.
Judgment.
Yes. Judgment. Exactly. Ugh. So, and Bianca, oh my God, Bianca, I ran those words together. Bianca needs a strong like heel to come up against, and it can, you know, down the line, it could be Rhea. Like, we don't even need to rush her going up against Rhea now. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later, but like, I'm very excited for Rhea. Hopefully this like really jumpstarts something for her. I'm truly excited for her. Yeah. Cause I feel like she's been like, they've been kind of wasting her along with a myriad of the different women. But Rhea goes on to like beat up Liv Morgan. Hopefully effectively ending that, but who knows? I want them to move on from the Liv and Rhea stuff. Yeah.
I don't need that, but I do appreciate that they didn't just totally drop it and move away from it.
Exactly.
But maybe this is the point where that happens. I mean, what we could see though, Mari, because you know, Edge and Priest have been having this mini feud not a mini feud really, with AJ Styles and Finn Balor.
Yeah.
And so it could be like a Finn AJ Liv situation, which
I think they came and saved her after the match. I think.
I don't look good for Liv Morgan. It is strange because like we have this package that feels very natural together in terms of Edge and Rhea and Priest. And I don't know if there's like a woman. I don't know if there's a woman who's like Bullet Club adjacent, but like obviously. Yeah,
they said the Bullet Babes.
Like, what? Who said the Bullet Babes?
Somebody called her a Bullet Babe. I was just like,
okay, no one. We don't need to.
We don't.
Is she? No. But first of all, bullets. We are anti-gun violence. But secondly, whatever.
I'm not
doing whatever they do.
But it looks. I think it's a great feud because Liv Morgan is a consummate babyface. And if she's not going to be going for any type of title yet, have Rhea beat up on her for as long as possible. Have them put Finn, AJ, and Liv in the dirt so that to get Judgment Day over. Like, I'm good with all of that.
Not in the dirt. Oh, my God. Dirt. But you know what? I do love this for Rhea, especially being next to with Edge. Because that's just a great, you're sitting under Edge's learning tree. I mean, the same for Priest, but and then from Liv's perspective, if we do get to see her with AJ and Finn a good amount, then she's also under that learning tree. So maybe we'll see both of them grow in that way, being around these veterans. Yeah.
And it's another storyline for women that doesn't include the title. Like that is
exactly.
Yeah. That also, again, feels like, you know, that you're putting them with the men, but it doesn't feel like an afterthought type thing. It's really, really cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this because this is what you said. This is your match of the night. Ronda Rousey.
Okay, don't put words in my mouth.
Said it.
I didn't say it was my match of the night, Mari. I just said that in my opinion, it was the match of the night. Now, it was not my match, though. And you know what? We have to show the obligatory, here's your bestie, Miss Charlotte, in the peacock look, peacock purple. And it was the best match of the night. I mean, what else would have been the best match of the night? They were kicking each other's asses. They were referencing different things. Like there was a reference to what's her fish?
Sasha,
you know? And so this was really well done. I feel like Charlotte said, okay, I'm not going to be around after this match, so let me actually put some effort in. And it showed.
Yeah.
This was the best performance for Ronda in any sense in my mind since she's returned, which is not saying a lot, but it would be a great on a house show.
I've said it time and time again. I've seen this live. I've seen them use weapons live. I was there at that Survivor Series where they did that live. But if you need to rely on weapons and like all of that to like get a story over, you're just not good at your job. I'm sorry. I don't care. I
agree.
Yeah. Like hitting people with kendo sticks, like we could go and hit each other with kendo sticks right now and not,
we would do such a good job too.
Like, I don't know. I'm just not impressed. Like I get it. It's the violence is what's drawing you. The violence is what's pulling you in. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
It's like a little bit of a shock factor too, because you like, even with the kendo stick, brutality, you're seeing it and you're like, ooh, Charlotte's going to have some legit bruises after that. Or you're like, ooh, the sound of the kendo stick. Cause that's really what kendo sticks are. It's just the sound is like the key thing that's the key benefit to the kendo stick.
Yeah.
Or else we're going to go with like a steel chair set situation. So I'm with you. Well, I mean, I'll also say this match gave me the energy of Ronda before her break, where they did a really good job of like scripting out her matches and putting them together, where I was like excited during her first run, every match she had, because I'm like, how is she on her third match? And she's like, she was doing stuff that, it was surreal at the time, because you're like, what? Ronda Rousey is a wrestler? Like, she knows how to do things in the ring? That's wild. I totally agree with you, though. And something that I would even say for Ronda is, you know, like, you could almost tell that they don't want to... They want to protect her as much as possible, not only in terms of her character, but physically. There was the match, and I'm sure that... Not to jump ahead, but like there was the match on SmackDown this past week where it was Ronda and special open challenge Raquel Rodriguez. And there, maybe Ronda took one or two bumps, like maybe two or three bumps, but it was not a lot of bump, like actual like flat back bumps that she took in the match. And I was watching because I was like thinking to myself, oh, like how does MMA and Ronda's work and schedule there compared with WWE. WWE in my mind is so much more brutal, but they find ways of like protecting Ronda's body by bringing in the kendo sticks or not having her bump a lot. Or, you know, it's interesting. It's just very interesting to watch her for me.
Yeah. I mean, for me, what I don't like about it is because
talking.
I've been saying it like since WrestleMania, like it's such a element of sloppiness to me, like it's truly sloppy work, but they disguise it as it's real. Her and Charlotte are really hitting each other, so that's why it looks like a real match, like a real MMA. It's like I don't truly care about that. If I wanted to watch MMA, I'd watch MMA,
right?
You know, and that's what I quit Matt allowed them to do, because they allowed them to really kick each other, allowed them to really kendo stick each other, you know, allowed them to like legit do some like real stuff to each other. That it doesn't need to look pretty, you know, and which is the hardest thing, you know, is making it look good while also protecting your partner.
Yeah.
So that's why I just wasn't a true fan of it. But and speaking in which, like you brought up the Raquel Rodriguez match. The funny thing is, I actually preferred that match. I watched that match. I was like, this match is not for me for several reasons. But I watched it. Like, you know, for the I just don't like either one of them. But
You don't like Raquel Rodriguez or Ronda?
Yeah, they are not my two favorite women. I know. Yeah, no, it's
well, I mean, yeah.
Let me keep going
because I want to come back to Raquel, actually.
Yeah, because I actually thought the match was really good because, like you said, Ronda, you said she didn't take any bumps. She took a few bumps, but like most of the time she was, you know, she was getting worked. That whole match, she was getting worked. Like Raquel was working her, and they did a really good job of Raquel would bring her up, about to slam her. You know, mm-hmm. Ronda counters. Like that was a lot of portion of the match. And I thought that it looked really well with Ronda working with a base mm-hmm. who's really there to kind of like try and throw you around and make it look like they're ragdolling you, because Charlotte doesn't truly kind of work like that, you know. And some of my favorite Ronda matches have always been against Nia Jax. I think her and Nia had the best matches. Yeah. And I think a lot of it was just the whole dynamic of, you know, the big versus the small and just having a good base. So I actually preferred Ronda versus Raquel over the Charlotte and her getting the roll up and all that. Yeah. So like, as much as those two women do nothing for me, I actually thought that was a solid match.
Like, well, you know, maybe though, if you gave, like, if you just randomly gave us Raquel and Ronda for 15 minutes and you're getting like exactly what you're talking about, that size dynamic and everything, and them working like that, like mm-hmm. that could be actually a really great match for both of them. Heck, like,
yeah,
I mean, and then I see what you're saying, because I was about to say, heck, throw in the kendo sticks and everything else, but that also kind of takes away from that
dynamic.
It takes away from the classic story, the size story, because it ends up being an equalizer too. I mean, just on the note of Raquel Rodriguez, by the way, I don't like she. Okay, maybe I'm a hater, but she smiles too much is my thing. And she's talked about this in interviews. Raquel has, about how she's like, I'm just so happy and I love to be here. And like, I just want to show it. But and I guess Vince McMahon apparently said, Raquel, go out there and smile, right? Which is like infuriating as it is, but I mean, it just feels forced. Like, you
don't babyface 101. I mean, it's babyface 101.
Yeah, exactly. It is babyface 101, but it's just like,
worst. Yeah, like
too much.
It's The Rock smiling as Rocky Maivia. Like, it's too much. Like, sometimes you don't do that, but if you have no character,
yeah,
that's what happens.
Because it's like, what's the secret that you have? Like, Mari, what's Raquel's secret? Like, if you really look in her eyes at her smile, like, why is she so happy?
Let's move along. So
I'm Ronda's just like, what is going on?
Ronda's the new SmackDown champion. She beat Charlotte for the I Quit match because she kayfabe broke Charlotte's arm. And then it was announced, you know, that Charlotte will be out of action indefinitely, which of course she will be, because that's all Charlotte does. If she doesn't have the title, she's off somewhere and then comes back and gets the title or whatever. Mm-hmm. But anyways, mostly because I said all that, that sounded like a hater, but congratulations, because it's her and Andrade are going to get married this summer and then they're going to take time off together. So that's basically why they're doing this. So
we'll Charlotte's gone. Send it to her.
Yeah. Charlotte's gone, which, okay. Ronda's having open challenges that include Raquel Gonzalez. Apparently Shotzi and Aaliyah might be fighting for the next one, something to that effect. So the moral of the story are, my girls are safe. My girls are far away from Ronda, and I am ecstatic about that. Like, I cannot be more happy. Keep them as far away from her as possible. So,
wow. Well,
I'm good. I'm happy
for now, but you never know about, like,
it doesn't matter until that happens.
Yes.
Bianca's the other champion.
She's fine. Yeah, they're fine. Bianca, yes, Sasha, Naomi, all
Naomi
good.
Are, yes, they are great. The only,
we don't
the
know
only
where
one
Bailey
I'm worried
is.
About. Yes, exactly. Exactly. I'm so scared for mommy. I'm so scared for Bailey. Come
but
back
then again. No,
come
you back. Don't have to be scared.
Don't
for
come
her
back
because at the end of the day, if Bailey comes back and has a feud with Ronda, it's going to be great because it's Bailey. Now, now the Bailey side of it will be great. Bailey will come out looking great. She could literally get beaten time and time and time again by Ronda and still do it in a way that makes her look really good and gets her over, especially as that heel ding dong hello character. So I'm not worried, but we do need Bay back in our on our screens.
On our lives.
Stop playing games because I have like I feel like there are lots of things where they're like, wait, Bailey, you're healthy. You're healthy now. Okay, so could you be in the ring? And then she was at like the Kids' Choice Awards in the background.
She was at the TV last night.
Don't appreciate. She's making me angry by staying away for so long.
I know. And so, and my biggest thing about Bailey coming back is like, it's hard because it's like, I loved her heel character. So I want her to come back as the heel character. But also if she comes back, I'm cheering for her. So it's like really hard. And if you, if she comes back and you want me to boo her against Ronda Rousey, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
I will say, I love that they kind of, it's so fascinating to me. Like they had the whole hugger gimmick, which by the way, great shirt, great hugger shirt, iconic hugger shirt back in the day. They had that and then they just moved away from it and it was totally okay because again, Bailey knows what she's doing. She's a pro. She could do whatever gimmick they want, but I secretly, I don't know how they'll get there, but I want that character back one day with the headband, the side ponytail. One day.
Wow.
One day, not anytime soon. Because the heel character has so much more room to go to it grow.
Because she can still be a heelish character and be a face in the character, in the role model character.
But I feel like people forget about how, like when Bailey was in NXT, they were comparing her to John Cena. And like, that's legit. And you, but like the thing is, she didn't have to stay a baby face. And that's why Bailey is not even, well, low key, but not even low key, better than John Cena.
Yeah.
Somebody.
Yeah, so I just want to
Photoshop
her back.
A graphic of that. Yeah, I don't know.
I just want,
I want her back too. That would make
me. But really I want happy, her far actually. Away from Ronda. So it's such a catch 22.
I mean, yeah, we'll see what they do. Yeah. But I think we'll be happy either way whenever she's back.
Yeah. So other storylines, of course, that, you know, we'll get in, get into probably later on, you know, as we go on. This is, we can't talk about it all on our first show back, but Mustafa Ali is back. I mean, I'm happy to see Mustafa on my screen because we know I'm a Mustafa stan, but like, I'm wondering, I just want to know, is he okay with this? Like, is this, look at me. I got so excited. I know I accidentally turned my camera off. I want to know, is he okay with this? Is this his choice? Like, is he happy to be back? Right now, he's just coming out as himself. I know you said you have a few issues with his presentation, Matt, maybe?
One, it's like it could be bigger and better. Well, you know what? No, but like, Mari, I don't want to skip over what you're saying because that's part of it for me where I'm like, is he okay? Or are are they blackmailing him to, to working here? But yeah, like he's had matches, which is great. I just feel like there could be more of a story tied in there. And we have gotten like there was the Miz stuff, which is nice, but I don't know. You know what? Maybe what it is for me is that I just don't like people to be paired with The Miz because The Miz is really good on the mic, which is great. He's kind of goofy, which is a little odd. And I don't know. I would just like to see a good story for Mustafa Ali.
Yeah, exactly. And right now he's in this storyline with like The Miz and Austin Theory. And it feels really weird.
Yeah, because that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a lot of The Miz throwing shade at him. And then, you know, he's kind of, it seems like, is he bringing it back? The light character? It's really hard to really understand. So I don't know.
Yeah, like it could. Well, it's also strange because it really seemed like he would never be back on our TVs from what we've heard from credible sources. So I don't know. I just would explanation of him. I would like for him to tell us it's okay.
Yeah, like I'm on Twitter. Yeah, that's why I was just on. Yeah, right. Yeah, Morse code. Are you good?
Like I'm on his Twitter. Yeah, what's on his Twitter? Has he like said anything that's closing the loop on all like, of the dragging he was doing of WWE?
It feels like no. But it feels like
WWE stole his social media and is controlling it for him.
No. It actually is kind of funny because like he is currently in the U.S. title picture. He's on the periphery of it. Like we said, he's kind of
right.
Yeah, with Austin Theory and then like Tommaso Ciampa. So he's actually like doing funny skits on his Twitter like he's known to do. He's using Twitter to promote himself. He's doing this promotion where this promo where he's like asking people around America if they think like Austin Theory is a good United States champion. And it's just him dressed as different people. It's like
what do you mean by dressed as different people?
Like he's dressed like there's one where he's dressed like a construction worker with like clearly like a construction worker with like a mustache called Mitch Steele. He's dressed as an older woman called Harriet Matthews. He's dressed as like he's like dressed as all these people. Yeah. And like he has a blonde wig on and a suit and called Chet Reed. And he's like, the people around the US have spoken. They don't like Austin Theory. So it's kind of funny. It's like, but it's nothing we've seen on the TV. And that's always been the problem with how WWE basically just does not let Mustafa do what he can do. Like let him put this on the TV, you know? So
yeah,
I don't know.
And, you know, Yeah. And it's just kind of interesting because he like I found an article or a story where he's interviewed about his return and talking a little bit about that. And I just want to know what's really going on.
Me too.
Like
I truly do. It's hard to enjoy. It's just hard to enjoy it because we're just wondering what all the backstage stuff is.
Yeah, because like even in this interview that he did recently, it's very much like about Theory and about the I don't know. It's maybe I'm not surprised that he's not talking about everything from the past several months, but
yeah,
it is kind of unsettling and sad too because he was so vocal and people were really there for him, like Free Ali, and he did not get freed, unfortunately. Yeah. But maybe he's in a better position. Maybe this is his ideal. So good for him. Hopefully he's happy.
And we'll cover it more as we go along.
Oh yeah, we're on Ali watch.
Yeah,
which I think exactly was probably a thing. Maybe before before that's his smart return.
So we also got Lashley versus Omos was at WrestleMania Backlash. Sorry. I'm so sorry. Sorry.
MVP. No. Yeah, that's the excuse for
MVP. I know it got in the way. So now we're going to get Lashley versus Omos in a cage match next week. So awesome.
It's good.
Yeah, it's a good storyline and we'll follow it.
It's a good storyline and it's like pull a picture for a second. It's good that Omos has this package. Good for him. It does add to him a lot. You know, there's something weird about him alone, actually, because he really shouldn't be talking. He's nothing against him, but like he does as a big man, just give us like that traditional menacing muscle.
Right. All right, we've been talking for a very long time. We need to go to an ad break. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we do have the sponsors. What? Okay, let's
all ad right break.
I'm going to stop talking.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, welcome back.
Oh, my God. Mari, what an ad that was. Could you believe that? Wow, thank you so much to the sponsors of this network. We love it, we really do. Oh, what a good product.
So we gotta talk about this, like the WWE women's division right now, because it is crazy.
We talked, somebody has to.
Yeah, right, somebody has. Sad. To like we
did talk a little bit about
Ashley's comment about the women not being on the WrestleMania Backlash card, but I mean, it's been a lot. And since we've been gone, Asuka and Becky returned, because Becky was off TV for about like 2 weeks after WrestleMania, like trying to mourn her loss. We've talked about it. She's kind of going with that whole, she's losing her mind because she doesn't have her title type thing. And she came out talking about how she's gonna come back stronger. It's a setback. And then Asuka interrupted her. Finally, Asuka's back. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of in a mini feud to get to the title, which, great use of both of them at this point. I'm thinking, I just miss Asuka so damn much. I'm so happy she's back. Her and Becky, and then her and this iteration of Becky are, I mean, they always make magic together. Literally always. Yeah. So, but
they do. Have, but like the thing, I'm always worried for Asuka, because they always find a way of bring her in. And there's a big moment whenever she shows up or returns or whatever, and then they kind of forget about her and she kind of slips down the totem pole or whatever you'd call that, you know?
I agree, but we're trying to be positive.
But I just get nervous. I'm just protective, very protective of Asuka. It's sad. I loved her in NXT back in the day too, and I get that you can't really book someone like that destroyer, untouchable. But like, look, we're just happy that she's back more than anything, because there were a lot of injuries and things getting in the way. She'd been gone for a while.
Exactly.
I think, exactly. Was she gone? When did we last see her? Was it right before May? Was it Mania last year, or was it?
No, I thought it was it?
September, it couldn't have been that long.
Right.
I'll take your word for it.
Because remember, I think when we did, when me, you, and Stan did the SummerSlam preview, she was out. She was still out. And she had she was posting the funny photos and all of that. So it's definitely been a minute. So,
She hurt her. She had her mouth or
something like that.
There was something though. I think she had her tooth knocked out in like February last year.
Well, right.
And then it's been a while is like the short of it, right?
Yeah, exactly. But she's back. We got her. They've been closing Raw basically. Like the Raw women's division is redonkulous at this point. Like redonkulous. A couple weeks ago, we got Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, and Asuka versus Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley, and Sonya Deville. Mm-hmm. And Liv picked up the win there. It was such a good, that was a good match. Like, if you guys haven't watched it, go back and watch that, because that six woman tag match was, there's a lot of really cool spots in it. They truly did their thing. Bianca and Asuka main evented just this past week, I think it was. Yeah, it was the main event. And I mean,
they're all so good.
So good. But of course, Becky interrupted. So people
for
are
like
kinda,
the 10th time, by the way. Yeah. I feel like Becky's thing, it's like frustrating to think about because I know it's not just me. Becky's mm-hmm. been on commentary a lot. That's her thing. She's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But because of that, we've seen a lot of moments where I feel like she's interrupted matches. Mm-hmm. Like maybe at least 5 times she's done that. Probably matches involving Bianca for the most part.
Yeah, basically.
It's a little, that to me, that one piece of it to me is a little stale. It's like, again, mm-hmm. it's like, where are the writers? Like, they're, because these are all the, these are like the most talented people, some of the most talented people you have in your roster, and you can't come up with something that's more inspired for them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think they're kind of keeping Becky out of the, they're trying to slow roll it, because when you have a superstar of Becky's magnitude and she's not holding the title, this is a way mm-hmm. that you can get them involved without, you know, pushing for the title. So,
yeah, but you know what? Let me give you something. Get Becky and Escalade and then have her run someone over. That could be a storyline. Like,
Jesus, who, man.
I mean, it's like, who? Kayfabe, Mari, come on, and not shoot. But I'm just mm-hmm. saying, like, you know, like, just anything different. Like, you could twist it up so much. And they, that's the one disappointing part. But I love, it's tough because I hate to be negative on it, but it's because I love them so much. And, you know, the women deserve better. They definitely deserve better. And we're in a phase where they're kind of like, the roster is still amazing, but the, like, the time that they're getting on pay-per-views, for example, is a little lower.
Yeah, pay-per-views is still
the
lower.
Storylines aren't the most inspired. Again, like maybe the most, like the storyline they're putting the most energy to for the women is the Charlotte Ronda stuff, or was so.
I don't know. I feel like I'm a little bit higher on it because, like, we had basically right after Bianca won, she went into mm-hmm. like a short program with Sonya Deville, which is kind of funny because it was just like Sonya Deville
that was
just
fun.
Back with women. Like, yeah, but is that her gimmick now? Which is kind of funny. Like, and
it's like
I don't mean
key,
it.
Like,
yeah, exactly. It's like, and I don't mean it. Like, I'm just being, but like,
but it's
yeah.
a funny gimmick.
It's kind of hilarious. It is. Yeah. And so, And like I said, this Asuka Becky thing, Asuka Becky, and then maybe Bianca is getting rolled into it. A lot of people are kind of complaining that they don't like that Bianca's kind of being added to that. But it's like the two of them are vying for Bianca's, you know, for her championship. And it kind of works if they're so busy button heads with each other that they take their eyes off the prize of actually getting the title back, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and then like,
that's huge. It's huge though too, that like literally just Bianca Belair, the EST of WWE first with the Empress of Tomorrow, Asuka with Becky Lynch. Like that is huge. Just even
that's
on paper.
Huge. Yes, exactly. Ooh. That's a,
Especially without Becky being the champion, because we had this long stretch where obviously after SummerSlam, Becky has the championship and she's just finding ways to cheat and to win and to keep mm-hmm. it. So to see Bianca come out on top and find ways to prevail, or even to see Asuka somehow come out with the championship here, like that would feel really good to me out mm-hmm. of this feud. But I'm pumped for whatever matches, like, because you're right, they have had some really solid matches so far, but mm-hmm. no surprise there. No,
they've
surprise
been really there. Like rotating those women. It is like, yeah, I like what they're doing with the Raw women's division. Like, and then we also got Alexa Bliss just came out this past week. She came back to face Sonya Deville, who got fired from an authority position. Oh, so like, weird. Sonya Deville about to get a whole bunch of comeuppance. And Alexa Bliss came out to her music was like, it was
the creepy kind. It was creepy, but it was like normal too.
Normal. It was like normal. Yeah. It wasn't like the truly creepy one. It was like the Titan was creepy, but the music was normal.
And it was a fake. It was like a face package that she was. I don't mean the screen. I mean like everything. She came out as more of a face, and
yeah, she has the regular makeup again. If you're watching on YouTube, smile. Like we have the picture on YouTube. It's like a weird combination of her face gimmick and her.
You know what? This is probably, maybe I'm just anti-smiling in this thing, because
I think you are anti-smiling.
I love to see Alexa back.
Newly married Alexa Bliss.
Yes, she's not going by Alexa Cabrera on the show. Yeah. Maybe that would be interesting. They're like, oh, we just instead of changing someone's name for a random reason, we changed the name because they decided to change their name. So, no, this was like cool though to have her back, and it's funny because again, this women's division has a lot going on. The Raw side really has so much going on. Truly, that's really the key. Especially if you real like thinking about how Naomi and Sasha are on both brands.
Both brands, yes.
Like Raw is stacked, and what's really going like Smack? Nothing against. I mean, SmackDown is just not it.
Right now. People are running from SmackDown, which I feel like should tell you something. But yeah, so going into Sasha Banks, Naomi. So Sasha, Naomi, Shayna Baszler, and Natalya have been having like some. Like, you know, they've been feuding for a while. It was so weird. We thought that their women's tag title matches were going to be on WrestleMania Backlash, but it was actually on SmackDown last night. But in the meantime, they had been having like rotating matches where it would be Naomi versus Shayna, which was a great match the other week. Natalya versus Sasha, Sasha versus Shayna, like stuff like that. So they've been having like a revolving series of matches.
Yeah.
Because Sasha and Naomi are like legit, like we're fighting champions. Like you said, they were on Raw and Smack. They've been on Raw and SmackDown. So like they actually faced Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. on Raw. So another team there, which like they teased them like Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. and it's interesting. Like it seems like they're about to change Nikki's gimmick.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
Do they just dress her like Doudrop or something? Like maybe
that's what I'm trying to figure out. Yeah, I hope it's like because you know Doudrop, they're both from like the UK. I think I'm not.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, you know yeah, 100%. Yeah,
100%. Somewhere. So I'm like, and Doudrop is like, you gotta embrace the dark side and all that stuff. So I'm like, hopefully they just like take the superhero costume off. Maybe they do like British punk style edginess. I don't know, but something's brewing there, but I said all that to say Sasha and Naomi are killing it as the women's tag champions. We had the women's tag team championship match that they've been building up to for the past few weeks last night. And I am going to say, I thought they were going to main event. They did not main event. They went on at the 9 o'clock spot, but also it didn't give what it was supposed to give, which is sad because I feel like they didn't get as much time as they should have.
Yeah.
And because we have seen so many iterations of the four of them over the past few weeks, I just feel like there was nothing new in this match. I was really hoping we were going to get something new, but they didn't. I don't know if they didn't have the time. We didn't get anything new. We didn't even get the really cool finisher. You know, we got a roll up win here for Banks and Naomi. So I don't know. I don't know if that means they're going to continue to go up against Shayna Baszler and Natalya, but like, Shayna does not need to be in this tag team with Natalya. Like Shayna should be doing so much more here. Shayna should be going up against Ronda, to be quite honest.
Well, and then you could throw it, like both of them could be in a story with Ronda, Natty.
Exactly.
Because like very Natty, true. Natalya, we're not taking anything away from Natalya. Obviously, she is like A1, day one, whatever the kids are saying these days. That is that. She's the boat, the best of all time. I say allegedly because she said that. Self-proclaimed best of all time. Now, in talking about Naomi and Sasha, though, they're so freaking good. And they're so great as a tag team. Nikki A.S.H. took their tag finisher the other day in that match, like very well. It looks like it hurt. hard hitting. And by the way, I just want to mention there was a match, and I'm so disappointed that we were on a break when it happened, where it was the match where Liv and Rhea, I think right after they broke up at the end of that match. Uh-huh. So they have that match, like Rhea, Liv lose. I think that Naomi, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but there was a match where there was like almost a botched finish where Rhea had the pin on Naomi. Liv and Sasha were like scrapping with each other, and then Sasha hit the backbreaker on Liv.
Mm-hmm.
And like Sasha had to dive and break up the pin like the last second. I don't know if you know what this match was, but it was like, I almost thought they like it almost looked like they would have lost the tag championships there.
Holy crap.
It was a good, I wish that we were around to talk about it when it happened, but
I know
it just reminds me how great like Sasha is.
Because they got directly after WrestleMania, Liv and Rhea got two immediate matches, but the first match that they had was for the right to get the tag championships, and they lost.
The Raw after Mania, and then they were supposed to have the match that next week, and then they were like, "Oh, joking, sorry, we're not going to give you this tag team match again this week. We're going to give you next." They just play so many games at WWE with the schedule. They almost don't want us to tune in. They want us to be confused about when it's happening. Yeah, no, if anything, Sasha's like the greatest. And anytime there's a botch and you see what people do because of it, that's how you know that they're good.
Mm.
Give her the Hall of Fame.
Of course. I think they're great champions, but like they need some really, really credible, they need some challengers, period. Like full stop. You know, credible challengers. At that, like, I don't know.
I do appreciate like that they did choose to throw and Mari, I can confirm that Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. are both Scottish, so
that's what it was. I wanted to say they were both from there, but I was like, no, let me just.
Do you want to know something wild? Doudrop was born in 1991. Well, no, this isn't weird. Wild. She debuted in 2007, though. So she's like literally almost exactly a year older than me and debuted when I was like a sophomore. She should have been studying the books is what I'm saying. She's been doing this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
15 years, 20. She's young, too.
Yeah. So we just got to see what else. I want like a really meaty like storyline for Sasha and Naomi. They are going out here putting on these really good matches, and it's like just for the title, and it's like it's cool and all. Like what that's story? Cool and all, but I want a story. Man, I don't even know.
Not anyone. I already gave Becky the run someone over with the car angle, so maybe it's like, maybe Naomi gets kidnapped.
Oh my gosh.
And Sasha.
That's funny.
We'll work on it. We'll work on it later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like literally like I'm joking, but also at the same time, it's like you could literally pull a storyline out of a hat and it would be more interesting than what they're doing with them now. And that is not a reflection on the performers. Sadly. Oh, it's sad. I just like with them and with Bianca too, I'm just like, keep these championships on them until you figure something out and give them a good story. Like if they lose those championships anytime soon, just like, why did you even give them to them? Why did you even tease us like this?
Yeah,
exactly. I'm hopeful though. I'm hopeful. Oof.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's hard because even the regular tag teams don't get great storylines, you know, not at all. But,
you know, it
has to be something different than I want your titles. It truly has to be.
Like, it's tough. It's tough to see. I don't know why. For me, it's the thing with Sasha especially, but because we know how, like, she's been vocal about not being utilized fully in the past about different things. And so you could almost imagine what might be going through her head. I mean, I'm sure that she loves being with Naomi, which is amazing. But, like, definitely. Man, if Sasha could talk.
I mean, Sasha has talked. She said she loves it. So I think I see why she does, because they're doing great work. They're having mm-hmm. fun. They just need something else. Like something needs to make it, like you said, something needs to make it personal or something. Like, I don't know. They haven't done a good, like, jumping in the back type deal. Like I wouldn't mind, like,
get jumped.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind some like mystery challengers, like all covered up, beating them up for like weeks on weeks on weeks. Like, who are these people?
And then,
like,
it's like
beating us up.
And then it's like the Iconics, you know, oh my return gosh, or something like that. You know, like anything, just any real team. But like, that's exactly where my head is, Mari. And mm-hmm. I always just, it bothers me that WWE has all the resources in the world, and yet we don't get stuff like that.
That would be the coolest thing. And it, like, I love a good mystery in wrestling. We love mm-hmm. a good mystery. Sometimes we don't like how the mystery ends.
Sure.
But, you know, I love a good mystery. Like, do it so, like, there's mystery people who are beating up Sasha and Naomi. They don't know who it is, so they get paranoid. They're like looking in the back, like, "Hey, what do you guys?"
They start beating up people. You could have other, maybe have like other. It's so.
It could be an NXT team.
It could be an NXT team.
NXT team.
They could tease.
I mean, it would have been great. We'll talk about this in a minute, but yeah, like, tease what now?
They could tease anything. They could have people, because like, even for the Royal Rumble, we had freaking Mickie James at our Royal Rumble, and she was the Impact Women's Champion. So like, bring in people or tease people. Right. Like, you could do so much.
Like, Sasha had that moment with Melina in the, in the Rumble, that from what we heard was like, not even, you know, it was a botch, essentially. Yeah. Have Melina grab a partner. I don't know. I can't think of any.
Grab a partner.
Oh my God. Have her grab a partner. Mystery beating them up. Like, do that. Like, do it.
Yeah.
Like, where's Trish and Lita? Bring back Trish and Lita to the besties versus, you know, there's so much you can freaking do. Like,
there's so much they can do.
We're talking about Bailey, right? You said have Naomi get kidnapped. have Bailey kidnap Naomi. Wait, and be like, oh my God, where's Naomi? I think you need a partner now, Sasha. Like,
you know what I'm saying? There's so much they can do. It's so sad. I know, it makes me sad too to think about all the ideas that we could just like spitball and. Yeah. And they would work so well too. That's the thing. Like, we're not just making up, these are common sense ideas, but WWE also realizes that, like, they're the type of people, they're the type of organization at times that's like, but we don't have to. And they take mm-hmm. that, they don't have they to. And they realize serious. That. Yeah. And so they mm-hmm. don't. They don't do anything. They do only the work that they need to do. Exactly. They never go above and beyond for us. And, you know, it's hurtful, but whatever.
Yeah, we kind of got to talk about Lacey Evans.
We do need to talk about her.
Every week, we're still getting these chapters.
Wait, Mari, hold on. Here it goes. Here it goes. I think I just broke you, by the way.
Oh my gosh.
It's so okay. Look, you maybe I'll start out with this, because you really were like, okay, I'm just gonna talk about this. And you were, I will say, I was trying to give her the benefit of the doubt and give the story the benefit of the doubt. And you know, we saw one video, some might say it was a bit of trauma dumping, and then we got 5 weeks of it, and
it was trauma dumping. Jesus.
And it also is like, I'm not, you know, I am in no means against people sharing their story and their truth, but this was wild. it's like number one, Lacey Evans is the Bendry Bergen of the WWE. And let me just establish that. For those who get it, the reference, we hear about her service quite often. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would not take that away from her, especially as someone whose dad served. And, you know, I'm sure you too, both Mari, have parents. That connection. Exactly. Mm-hmm. With both your parents. So it's like nothing against that at all. And I just want to establish that. Why did you have to come out here in your little video packages each week and be like, all right, here it goes. Every single freaking week, it's the same start. And you're wearing the same outfit. And, mm-hmm. you know, she did look good when she came out in front of the crowd, I will say, just like aesthetically.
It's but, a nice, yeah. The new gear is really nice.
But like the way that they talk about it is so uncomfortable, where it's like.
So uncomfortable.
Everybody, Lacey shared her heartbreaking story and we love her because of it. And it's like, this is very corporate and manufactured. It would be mm-hmm. one thing if she was just sharing her story, but like, it just feels exploitative to me.
Yeah.
And she's being mm-hmm. exploited in it, I kind of feel like, too, because at the end of the day, it's not about her story being out there and resonating with people. And it's good that it could be out there. I'm assuming she wants it out there, but like, damn, it's just the corporate machine and it feels very corporate.
It feels like she is literally standing in what, like I said, her new attire is like military, like the military dress, the camo dress, like kind of. Mm-hmm. Revamped. It really, really looks nice, but like she's standing in that in front of a flag, just a waving digital kind of flag graphic.
Waving and digital, she said.
Waving digital and just pouring out her trauma. Like,
but like it's like,
it is yeah, so awkward. Like this one this week was like 2 weeks before my WWE training debut. My father overdosed and died. I was like, Jesus, like that's
but it's sad. It's so sad, but it's
exactly.
Like,
it's like,
punch I think like punch. The emotional, you know what it is? WWE is not good with emotions because you can't like go into that emotional place and then immediately you can't go from like, you know, a Sami Zayn type of like, to like mm-hmm. then Lacey Evans is like, all right, here it goes, and then telling us everything about her life, and then we go back to like, you know, the Mad commentary Moss. Team is like, yeah, isn't she so brave, and then it's Mad Cat Moss and like it's sad too because like it is such a meaningful story at the and I think it kind of gets lost in the package and how they present it
exactly and it, like so
and it's, also it's I will say things- like lots of wrestlers, like when I go back, when I think back 20 years, tons of wrestlers had experiences like this because mm-hmm. wrestlers back in the day, I feel like everyone had like a heartbreaking kind of broken home type of story. And now you have like, it's just a different generation. And, you know, drugs aren't as present with a lot of the people in wrestling now. A lot of them like to play video games instead of, you know. All of the other, you know, other things that they used to do. So it's a different time. Lacey has a story that's very much like a lot of wrestlers of yesteryear, and probably like a lot of wrestlers on the roster now or in the mix now. So we see her, but damn,
it truly is just how they present it. Because after that, she was like,
"It is."
And then one of my cousins tried to commit suicide. I walked in right before it happened. I had stopped the bleeding. I'm like, what is like truly?
But the thing is it's tough. It's tough because it's like it's so freaking deep, and I'm connecting with it emotionally. But then it's just a lot. It's a lot. You know what? The other piece of it, too, is like everything she shared could be a 2-hour documentary. It does need to be a 4-minute segment or 3-minute segment. And I think that's the other problem.
Yeah, they're like
the packaging of it. Damn. Because
like I said, I said it earlier, like when they did the first one, I was like, I really wish they had did it like she was. Like cleaning out her attic or something like that, where she's like looking like at all her old mm-hmm. photo albums, talking about reminiscing about her life, talking about like
more
how
documentary
the WWE,
style even. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like talking about how the birth of her new child has made her think of, things that she's went through and how she wants to make a better place. Like they could have done it so much better than her just standing and then just sitting there uncomfortably, just telling us all this stuff while she's trying not to cry. And it's just like, I can this is not, stop
and
it.
Feel, like,
this
I is feel making so me feel bad. Like, I feel bad because it does, in a weird way, make me gravitate toward her, the performer, because I'm just like, damn, they really are kind of doing you dirty with this presentation. There's so much, like, again, all of the resources in the world, just like, they could have filmed her over the course of 2 days, wherever she lives or wherever mm-hmm. she's from, or even by the performance center. And like, yeah. you just get that feeling a lot more. And it's
yeah, tough. Have her
it's
driving back home. We love a good in the middle of a truck style. I talked about that already. Truck.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Oh, God, Lacey.
Like, she used to always give promos in her chicken coop. Like, what happened?
It's so sad. Oh my God. I'm so upset. Like, I'm like laughing because it's like, how do you mess this up? But
right. And then like, they're like begging the crowd to like,
and it's
not
funny because we like the two of us would connect with her story. If it was, we have a lot of, we could definitely connect with her story, I think, but it's just weird when you realize like, These are wrestling fans that you're packaging this in front of too. And so I just mm-hmm. don't feel like people are connecting with it. Nothing against wrestling fans, but like, I think the typical demographic is not gonna, you know, like, I don't know if there are a lot of like peers in the audience for her sharing her story, like that empathetic, like, let's get emotional.
I think that, moment. I mean, I think the whole rah-rah Let's Go America is definitely.
Oh, 1,000%.
Like, I think there's just a line. It's like you want to tell us your story for perseverance. And then there's just that line where it steps over. It's like, you're sharing like human emotions, and it's, then mm-hmm. it's going to make some people feel uncomfortable. And that's where I'm at. Like, I've never been uncomfortable hearing people's emotions per se. It's right. just the way it's presented and the reason being. And it, like you said, it feels so corporate. It feels so manufactured. Yeah. It feels so exploitive. Mainly that's what it truly feels. I think that's the true essence of it. It feels very exploitive.
But that's like where I do laugh with the, okay, here it goes every single time. Like, what is going on? What?
Because she does
no one
not
was like,
do
let's
it.
Switch up the start of this. Cause I feel like that's an attempt to make it seem more authentic. Like, that's not how, I don't know. It just, it's fresh. I think I'm frustrated by it, especially because like, if it were just being open and honest and vulnerable in her story, that's great. But like, there's a line.
Or even just a sit down with Michael Cole. Like, why couldn't they have done a sit down and be like, Lacey?
Anybody.
Yeah, you know,
Michael Cole.
Michael Cole did those really good interview series. Like, how, like, with JR.
He's a journalist, truly. Yeah.
We just sit down and just interview, like, Lacey, you know, you're back. You know, what's been going on? And then she could lead into, like, I've been enjoying my second child. It's brought up a whole bunch of my family history. Like, I feel like that, it probably would have still had that tinge of exploitation to it, sure. But then it also would have felt like another human could be bouncing that emotion off of, and Michael Cole does a pretty good job of maybe he could feign that empathy to make us connect with the empathy a little bit more. It just doesn't, they could have just done this so many different ways.
You know what I think is just fascinating is we're like weirdly emotionally invested in, or we're weirdly invested in what's going on with Lacey Evans.
Yeah.
And I think it's because we want it to be so much better, because there's so much that we could skip over. I don't know. Just fascinating.
I agree with you. Like, it's like, we know. I'm on
because we would just
like,
skip over it if we didn't want to talk about it.
Exactly. But it's like, I think it's because we're like, we see the value of what she is sharing.
Right.
Like, we see the value in it. We are just like, I don't know if you think this is doing what you're thinking it's doing. And like, you could be making it even bigger impact. I think that's the biggest thing for us. And like you said, Samantha, she came after the fifth chapter. She just came out and waved to the crowd, basically, after they begged that crowd not to boo her. And she didn't get any boos. She got some claps. I would love to, if anybody was in attendance, what was that? Yeah, last night. Like, let us know how that popped for Lacey Evans sounded and felt. It felt like, well, it didn't feel like a pop. It felt like a they you know, people clapped, but it didn't feel what like kind a, of a yay. Yeah. Yeah, what kind you know of a, what I'm saying?
I mean, it's awkward because even if she was a heel, like, you're like, I can't boo her. I can't boo her now.
I mean, you know, the it's like a, crowds I would do be what out, they want to do. Truly. Well, they,
yeah, but I think there's like a line too where people are like, this is a little, like, there's a line where it's like, ooh, I don't really love her, but I'm going to clap for her. But I kind of want to boo her because I don't love her. But also she just shared this really deeply emotional stuff and I don't want to be the asshole.
Yeah.
No.
Exactly. I honestly think these vignettes elicited a reaction because I don't know if she just would have came back. Like she would not have gotten the pop like Alexa Bliss did.
It would have been, you know, booze, what I'm saying? Though. It would have been booze.
I don't see that's the thing. If without Lacey the, Evans came out story.
Yeah.
Without the story, I don't even know if she would have gotten booze. That's what I'm saying. I think she may not have gotten a reaction at all. Yeah. So at the very least, these things have elicited a reaction that was all clapping. You know what I'm saying? Because she did get a reaction.
It was interesting how they really did run away from the character that she was in before with the Ric Flair thing, because they could have had her come back and, you know, punch Charlotte in the face and pick up where they left off. But I'm glad that they didn't do that.
Yeah. So I don't know. So I don't know if she came out on SmackDown. So I don't know if she faces Ronda again. If it's her and Ronda, cool. My faves are, but Fox is really foxing. I mean, have you noticed that? I'm just going to leave that there. I'm just going to leave that right there. Let's
Fox News, but close.
let's move along. Let's take an ad break real quick and we'll be right back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That was a great ad that Matt just talked through.
I was just thinking about, honestly, I love it. I do love the product. Love me the product. Thank
let's
you
move on. Ads. We got to cover some NXT and some AEW and also a shoot. So let's move along here. Let's move along. Move along. Unfortunately, like Matt had said at the top, there were some NXT releases while we were gone. And this was a freaking doozy. Like, I'm so like over all of, I'm over these releases now. We talked about it last time, but I am truly over this. I'm so mad. So some very notable releases. Dakota Kai was released. Malcolm Bivens was released. However, he did not. Yeah, he did not re-sign his contract. So it seems like this was like his decision to like walk away.
And he talked about it in a I don't know if it was like a stand-up comedy set, but yeah, he did talk about it. And he was like, look, this just wasn't for me anymore. And you have to respect that.
You definitely do. Yeah. And do you know if he meant by that like wrestling in general or WWE?
I got the vibe that there was a wrestling thing.
Oh,
and that he's maybe trying to figure. I mean, we'll see what happens and where it goes and where he figures it out. But I got the vibe that it was wrestling. But then again, like, you know, WWE is so much different than the rest of wrestling that anything could happen, especially when you get distance. You're like, oh, the Indies or AEW or Japan or whoever could be better. So, but good for him that he was able to make that decision.
Exactly.
He had, and it's not like he had to either. He had, he could have been doing so much more, but I appreciate when someone's like, oh yeah, this is not healthy for me.
Yeah.
Not what I need.
Exactly. If it's not for you, it's not for you.
Yeah.
Dexter Lumis got let go. Like, the
and
end
Persia
of the
Prada
index. And Persia
Prada
at the
same time.
Oh my god.
When they're in the middle of that freaking feud with the Duke Hudson and Indy Hartwell.
Well, they weren't even in feuding anymore. They had actually all like made up, really.
Exactly.
Yeah. And but it's like, so watching NXT, when I tell you watching NXT this week was like the writers trying to write around these releases, like like Indy literally being by her freaking self, them kind of addressing it where like Mandy is basically making fun of her because they're treating it like Dexter left her, which I'm just like, it's so sad that that's the ending for like Index, really.
And then Indy's comment is like, you know, sometimes life happens or something like that.
Yes.
It's like
she lost her best friend and her man. Like, and I
that's
like
so sad.
That is incredibly sad. So then we also had like Joe Gacy come out. He does not. He no longer has Harland, aka Parker Bordeaux, next to him. So it's just kind of like, oh yeah, now I'm back to being kind of like a motivational speaker for one, and he got like smashed by Bron Breakker. Like it. Diamond Mine is like, what is even happening with
Diamond
Mine?
Well, because like Bivens obviously is gone, and he wasn't only the manager, but he was the mouthpiece. He was the leader, truly.
It's such a great group.
And then there's all this stuff about how Roderick Strong has been trying to get out of his contract for so damn long, they're saying.
Oh,
they're
really?
Saying that he's requested his release. He did. And like, what they talk about is like there's buyer's remorse on it. Like, and it makes sense because he resigned maybe, let's say, about a year ago. But Marina was
his wife was
released.
That's true.
Undisputed Era buddies are all gone.
Well, they were. Like, I think they were already gone when he signed his.
Adam Cole was still. I mean, maybe it was all kind of happening, but Adam Cole was still there, and Kyle O'Reilly was still there.
I don't know if
he signed a year. If he signed a year ago, but maybe I'm wrong. Not when he signed.
It's been a minute since they've been.
But
gone,
things have changed since
they've been gone since like September, though.
Look, it happens.
It's like before that. Anyways, like but yeah.
Who knows? Yeah.
I think the biggest one was the wife. Like Marina Shafir is over on
that
AEW
feuding.
What did I say? Yeah, got released. And,
yeah, no, you did. You nail it. And I think like the bigger thing is like you want to be with your best friends. You want to be with your significant other.
Well, you know, he was always like the outlier of Undisputed. He didn't really work with them beforehand.
Like when I think about Indy, the thing that makes me sad because I
with Indy.
Know,
oh yeah.
That oh no, well, I but like just to give the comparison, actually, is like you are. I mean, sure. Like I don't know her personal relationships with people, but you have to think she's probably really close with Dexter. She was working really closely with Candice and Johnny Gargano.
Oh right,
also Candice gone
didn't
now.
Yeah, they did. They didn't resign. Yeah,
and then like, and then there's Persia who's gone, and I think I said Dexter's gone.
Yeah, and Persia so
like
was legit her
people.
Best friend from Australia.
Legit.
Yeah,
all of these people around you are gone, and it's like there's also probably the thought of like, when's it gonna be me? Is it gonna be me next or?
Very true.
Maybe it should be me next so that I could be with my friends. And it's wild.
It has to be
a
mind.
Everyone.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for everyone who stays in there because it must be sad to see your friends go like they're there one day and gone the next.
on the next, exactly.
That's a hard place to
live. It's so annoying. Yeah. And so we also got some Draco Anthony, who was kind of being built up. He's gone. Sajana George, who was like one of the, if I remember correctly, she was like one of their first like Indian signings. She's like an Indian women's wrestler. She was one of their first signings.
Yeah.
Paige Prinziavalli. I said Mila Milani already, but Raylan Devlin. Raylan Devine. Oh. I'm so upset because like the week before she got released, apparently Raylan Devine, who was like, I think she was like a former like basketball star or something like that. She was this really tall, really cute, girl. She, her and Simone Johnson, AKA The Rock's daughter.
Yeah.
Were apparently working on like maybe a tag team together. And then she gets released and she didn't even like really debut. So that was like, I was like, okay. So going into that, the women's breakout tournament started. If you can pull up that bracket for me, Matt. So we got a question from Derek in the Squadcast group. He said, the women's breakout tourney started this week, but in my opinion, this field is confusing. Why are somewhat already established women in it? What are your thoughts? Also, he had this question. The Rock's daughter signed like 2 years ago, but yet they've debuted a ton of women since, and we haven't seen her. Do we think she's progressing, but because of The Rock, her job is secured? It isn't progressing, but because of The Rock, her job is secured. Is she injured? What's the story? He says Santino's daughter, Ariana Grace, who I didn't even realize that was her. Wait, can you bring that back up, Matt?
Yeah. And she's in the tournament.
I'm about to get to the tournament. Ariana Grace, who faced Nikita this week, just signed and already debuted. We talked about this on our last episode before we left.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for Simone to make her debut. I follow her on Twitter. She like, I don't know anything about like how her training is going, but she's very funny on Twitter. It, like I said, I know the only thing I know about her and Raylan Devine is from the Twitter and how they're like, oh, we're in the gym. Like, this is going to be your new favorite tag team. They're like on Instagram together, all together. So, she's very, very vocal, like politically.
Simone?
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, she's very, very vocal politically. I love that about her. And she's been teasing the women's breakout tournament, but she's not in it. So everybody, when they announced the breakout tournament, like we were all like, where's Simone? Where's Simone? Where's Simone? And she was like putting like emojis up and stuff like that. But I'm with Derek. I'm like, where is she? Something has to be going on. I can't imagine, but then again, I think we talked about it the last time, like she, because of those high expectations about being The Rock's daughter, like,
yeah,
she, it's, look at what they're doing with like Lash Legend. Like people are, seem to forget that NXT is developmental, and the moment that you're not as crisp on something, they try to pull you apart, especially if you're a Black woman, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe they are truly like trying to make sure she is like ready to go before they debut her. I honestly blame us. I blame the fans. If that's the case, I truly blame the fans. Like, honestly, because this is supposed to be developmental, but people won't let it be developmental, you know?
Yeah. But like, I don't want to even put it on the fans with this because we don't know what's happening, but I hear you.
I think
like the thing that I just thought of is she's The Rock's daughter. You're not going to put her on NXT. Maybe she'll never be on NXT. Ooh. Maybe we're going to get her on the main roster when she's ready. Maybe she's just working and working and working and going to get to the point where she's ready. And then they'll debut her on the main roster rather than putting her on NXT. Who knows? But I mean, I don't even want to speculate on it. But also, it's The Rock's daughter. So she has to be like that good. Because if she's not perfect, if she's sloppy in any way, people are going to be watching. People are not watching as closely. Well, let me rephrase that. People are watching like Nikita Lyons closely because of the splits, right? For the most part. Mm-hmm. But other than that, nobody is watching like other NXT competitors as closely as they would be watching Simone Johnson. Simone mm-hmm. might break the ratings for NXT the day that she debuts, right? Because yeah. she's so huge. It's The Rock's daughter. So be careful and make sure she is 1,000% ready before she's out there. It is kind of concerning, but it's The Rock's daughter. So they're not going to, like, she'll have time. She'll have as much time as she needs.
Exactly.
It's wild that The Rock has a daughter, too, because, I mean, I get that he's 50 now, but, like, damn.
Yeah, she's like young. 22, something like that.
I know.
Well, like, not 22, sense, but like 20.
She's it like all makes 19, sense, 20. But damn, The Rock could still go. So.
Yeah. So we had Nikita Lyons versus Ariana Grace. Like we said, Ariana is Santino Morelli.
Yep.
Yeah. daughter. And Nikita beat Ariana Grace.
Yeah.
Fallon Henley versus Sloane Jacobs. Like, I'm not familiar with Sloane Jacobs. Yeah, but Fallon mm-mm. Henley.
Has maybe been she's related to Glenn Jacobs of the Kane fame. I mean, they have the same last name.
But Fallon Henley has been on, she's had a few, like,
And she's been with those guys, Brooks and Jensen.
Yeah.
And they've had a little thing. It's funny though, cause Fallon Henley is from, I think she's from up north, but mm-hmm. she has like a vaguely southern accent in her character. Yeah. It's fascinating. They're really doing a lot with her actually now and putting her out there more and more.
And I think she's one of the women that we're referring to. Like, yeah, it's like an unknown and then like known. Like we have Roxana Perez, also known as Roxy, we were talking about, who's very famous on the independent scene, versus Kiana James, who I looked at
and I was like, is that Casey Catanzaro for a
second? Oh no, she got another new name. Oh my God.
Klaxlin.
Katana.
I wish you didn't have it because I was going to guess.
It's Katana something. No, I didn't. Katana, it's so bad. Katana.
Yeah. And Casey Catanzaro is such
Katana
a damn
Chance.
Good...
Jesus. Katana Chance. Like,
I need to watch some more promos and stuff of them because I just want to... Oh, Casey Catanzaro is such a good name.
I truly cannot get into the name game anymore. Like, I am so big.
We're not going to.
Alba Fire for KLR.
Okay, but like they're giving her a whole like kind of Phoenix type of gimmick around that. So I don't like the name. But I do like that they're really embracing it. Like, it's about her rising from the ashes. It makes sense enough. Whatever, we get it. It had to happen.
Anyways,
but at least it wasn't totally random. And then we have, I think you said Roxanne Perez versus Kiana James. And then there's Lash Legend with Tatum Paxley. Which, by the way, Tatum Paxley, what a name.
Yeah, Tatum Paxley. So
both of them are notable in Tatum has been around. Yeah, I think she was
with the
around with Diamond Mind a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then the Lash Legend, of course. Lash, so I hear you. Yeah. I mean, look, I don't really mind that they don't have people like that. They have some people we kind of know. Nikita Lyons is the one. Actually, Nikita Lyons and Lash Legend really feel
the most
out of place, but who cares? Like,
out of place.
WWE will do whatever they do. I hear you though, Derek.
I'm wondering if we get Nikita versus Lash in the final.
That would be really annoying though in the end, because it's the breakout tournament. Like, I don't want to see
Roxy.
They're not breaking it. Yeah, maybe Roxy. We've also gotten her with like. The toxic A.
Yeah, toxic
they're really doing something different here.
Yeah, so because Dakota Kai got released, they've been pairing Roxana with Wendy Chu, because if you remember, Wendy Chu was was tagging with Dakota.
Yeah.
So now Roxanne and Wendy Chu have been kind of giving Toxic Attraction a run for their money, which is like, again, mm-hmm. it's like, so people are just being cut and y'all are just like, ugh.
Next.
Exactly.
By the way, I have been watching Next on Paramount Plus from MTV back in the day. Stop horrible it. Show.
So
horrible show. Horrible show.
So bad.
So bad. I can't believe I watched that all the time.
I know, as a kid. Oh God. So we are warped. Yeah. It was like the beginning of social media. It's like the hot or not.
It was so wrong.
Oh God, it was so bad. Awesome. All right. So yeah. That's the breakout tournament. It's gonna be interesting. I mean, we'll see.
Will it? I guess it will be interesting because we do. It's more interesting that we do know who these people are because will it be Nikita Lyons or Lash Legend winning? I will say I'm starting to really appreciate Nikita Lyons more. I think she sings her theme song. Maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I think she's forgiven a lot of her in-ring skills because of how she looks.
The split?
It's whatever.
Oh. You know, it is whatever.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to AEW. I mean, guys, it's a lot that's happened in AEW. So we're not gonna go over all of it. But the big things we got questions on and stuff like that. But like what?
Yeah.
What?
No, I just
what,
love not? The idea that we're ready to go into like everybody, we would talk about AEW in depth here, but we
already talked about it. I know.
We really would go into I swear we really would.
We would
always run out of time.
Yeah. But no.
Oh, we can do it.
We can talk about the Forbidden Door pay-per-view because when this dropped, I mean, it's so funny because I think I can't remember if we talked about it before we went on break, but like Tony Khan is always like, I have a big announcement on Wednesday. Tune in on Wednesday. Like he did that like 3 weeks in a row. And by the like second or third announcement, I'm like, Tony Khan, like every announcement can't be a huge announcement, you know, but this was a huge, I'm not saying this was a very huge announcement. I just wish, I don't know. I wish they would have promoted it differently or spaced it out differently, but the Forbidden Door pay-per-view for AEW, it's a week before, Monday
the
4th
of July. Yeah. That works too. Yep.
And it is a co-pay-per-view with AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling. So people were excited. And I'm trying to, like, I don't know how they're going to do it. I think what they're going to do is it seems like they're going to announce a few matches beforehand, like build a few matches and then maybe just have surprise matches. I'm not truly sure. I've been dipping in and out. It seems like they're currently building within themselves. So
yeah.
I'm not sure how this pay-per-view is going to shake out. And I don't know if I missed something. If we missed something about like how they're going to structure this pay-per-view, let us know. But when he initially announced that, I was like, oh, okay. So it's going to be like a whole night of just this AEW person versus this New Japan person. And like, you know,
but see, the thing is, the reason why I'm like, no, Mari, they wouldn't do that. Cause that's such a WWE thing to do.
What do you mean?
To kind of come up with like an not arbitrary, but come up with some unnecessarily strict. Here's how we're going to structure it. So I can't imagine AEW being like, oh, this is going to be like, because WWE used to do a lot of SmackDown versus Raw, or we even had the Invasion where it was WCW and ECW versus WWE. I think with AEW, and especially with the pay-per-view where you're probably flying in a lot of people from Japan, like I could just logistically see them maybe keeping things flexible, maybe announcing the big matches. I'm assuming there might be some like visa related issues with people. I don't know. I'm just making this up, but I don't know. I'm looking forward to what we're going to get. I'm kind of curious about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried though. I am worried that AEW will do the thing that they already do, which is where, you know, like we're expected to know more than we actually know. Like, because we really need like the WWE level of explanations for a lot of these people from Japan.
Yeah. Just 'cause,
like, we do not know New Japan like that. So let's see how they approach it. I would give them the benefit of the doubt here.
Yeah.
And they better not leave the women out. We need like a lot of women on this show.
So still, I'm Googling it and it doesn't seem like we still have too much. It's sold out. That's about it. I mean, and it says it's a joint pay-per-view. So I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's not. Maybe that was just my like brain. Like, oh, because that was the first thing that happened. Point. Like once they announced it, people were like, oh, I want so-and-so versus so-and-so. I want so-and-so versus so-and-so, you know?
Yeah. Well, I guess it's like when you have them under the same roof, it doesn't necessarily make sense just to do like AEW versus, like, what's the point of having an AEW versus AEW match on a show like this, right? Or even it reminds me of like ECW One Night Stand when WWE used to do those. And, you know, I think people would come, sometimes have, you know, the show might get flack when it was like Christian, aka Christian Cage versus like Chris Jericho. I don't know if that was a match on the show, but they did matches like that where it's like we could just see them on Raw or SmackDown, so why do we care to see it on this special show? So let's see. But I mean, looking at the New Japan roster, like Okada is hopefully, I mean, big deal, hopefully be on the show. Tama Tonga, formerly of the Bullet Club. Tanahashi, big deal. Like, you have so many names that even I know that I have barely seen truly wrestle, especially in the recent, you know, the recent months and all. So this is going to be interesting.
And that's what, I also made a face because I forgot that news just dropped about like Kota Ibushi, which is like,
did they release Kota Ibushi from
NJPW? It's so weird. Like, I don't know. Like, it's like, he's been making all sorts of accusations against them. I heard people were saying he was trying to like flee the country. I'm like,
oh my God. What?
Yeah. Yeah. What? I truly don't
stay in more people's business.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. What? He tweeted about like Yakuza involvement and something about sexual harassment.
What I would say is that I mean, whenever anyone comes out with accusations like that, like, he's definitely putting himself at risk, whether or not there is Yakuza involvement in NJPW operations. Mm-hmm. And obviously, like, so that's serious. That's scary. And also wild timing with the Forbidden Door pay-per-view coming up.
Yeah, and he still has a shoulder injury. So, like, I don't expect to see him on this pay-per-view or anything like that.
Yeah, which is so sad because
kind of hanging over it.
Yeah. I was most excited to hopefully see him and Kenny Omega.
Yeah. Well, you know, King got to come back, really. But
I mean,
yeah. So maybe we'll get more answers after Double or Nothing in a few weeks. So they're gearing up for Double or Nothing. So maybe after Double or Nothing, we'll get a little bit more on the Forbidden Door pay-per-view.
But yeah, we need to not talk about the Yakuza on here though.
I know.
I'm not trying to play games.
Let's get into the Owen Hart tournament. It began this week. We got some questions or just comments that they wanted to hear us talk about that tournament. And I think the one thing that AEW does really do really well when it comes to these type of tournaments, they make it feel like a big deal. Like,
yeah,
I do love that about it. And especially in the contrast of NXT Women's Breakout tournament, where it's like, it felt like it was a big deal, but not as big, like how AEW always does like their bracketology stuff, and
they really do. And I love that because they break it down, and you know, it could always be more in depth. Mm-hmm. But like, I loved the bracketology that they did for that one tournament where they had a lot of women from, I think it was a lot of women from Japan specifically. Yeah, the, they like, I don't remember which, what the tournament was called, but it was like half and half almost, where they did like half of the matches were there in Japan. Mm-hmm. And like, I appreciate that so much because it really lets you know like where people are in their careers and like stories and other things, or even just like a brief line about who someone is so helpful to then have predictions and other things. So for you, are you more interested in the women's side or the men's side? I would assume the women's side.
Of course. The women's side looks like really stacked to me. Like, but Shida is actually out of it. That was a little weird too.
That was weird and was replaced by Chris Statlander.
Chris Statlander.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, we have Riho versus Ruby Soho. Oh my gosh. Red Velvet versus now it'll be Chris Statlander. So it's kind of like. Toni Storm versus Jamie Hayter, which I think is something that we've seen a few times.
And Toni Storm won that one already. So yeah, Toni has advanced.
Yeah, exactly. Which is great for Toni. And then Britt Baker being in this is great. With the Joker. Yeah, it's the Joker. So have we heard?
Yeah, because Britt. So what happened there, just for those who don't know, is that Britt Baker was pinned in a tag match by Toni Storm. Toni Storm rolled her up and pinned her, which meant that Britt had to face the Joker, which is a really interesting spot because it's Britt freaking Baker. Mm-hmm. So. It's a big question of like, is the Joker going to beat Britt Baker? And
who is the Joker?
Who is the Joker? I mean, in my mind, mind immediately goes to Athena, formerly Ember Moon.
Oh, right. I did hear.
But beyond her, I mean, it could be so many people. That's the thing. I always feel like it could be so many people, but.
We normally kind of know, like before it happened. No, Mia Yim just signed a short-term contract with
Impact.
Impact. Yeah,
I think she and I don't know why, but I want to say it's like a 6-month contract. I'm not in the legal proceedings, but I feel
seen
like
her come
hard.
Back. I was so. I miss her so much.
That in this, looking at this tournament, though, my vibe here, just from what I know, I would assume that Britt Baker is going to win in this first round over the Joker somehow because she's Britt Baker.
Yeah.
But then again, this is a good excuse for her to not win. So, and then like how Toni Storm is a face. So it makes sense for her to go against Britt as the heel, unless like the Joker. I don't know. They're confusing the hell out of me here. But do you have I'll ask two questions. Who do you want to see win this tournament, Mari? Or who do you want to see in the finals if you don't just have one person?
Let's see. I'm looking at the bracket. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd be Ruby. No, because she's already won a tournament there. Red Velvet never seemed like I love Red Velvet, but it always seems like they have her job into somebody.
I want,
even though Chris Statlander, I mean,
yeah, well, but she was just added too. So it's like Chris Statlander is not.
Yeah.
Win the tournament.
If it comes down to Britt Baker versus Toni Storm, do they just give this tournament to Britt Baker to give her something else to like talk about?
But it can't be Britt Baker and Toni Storm in the end because they would be in the semifinals. Is that what it's called?
I was just thinking through,
well, Toni did pin Britt to get her into that Joker spot. So, it could really go either way. Like Britt could get a win on Toni and get to the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
I would who then? Like.
Well, so I so would
is kind of like.
I feel like Ruby Soho is like the standout on the right side, but
it doesn't.
Red Velvet is also interesting just because of Jade and the baddie section.
Yeah.
Like I could see Red Velvet potentially.
I don't know.
Chris
Statlander though,
it's the Owen Hart tournament too.
Mm.
Who's like the this is actually something I was thinking about with the men's side and not the women's side yet. But it's like, who fits the Owen Hart tournament, the first ever Owen Hart tournament. And I could see Ruby potentially getting the win here.
I feel like it'll be a face. She literally just won the last tournament.
Or Tony. But I think it'll be
Tony. Yeah.
I feel like I could just picture a face winning here. And probably even the men's side, but we'll look at that soon.
I really wonder if we'd have to guess who that Joker is. Cause I don't know. I truly don't know who that could be. For the women.
What's her name? Martha Hart, Owen's wife.
Yeah, Owen's wife.
She'll just enter and just win. That'd be a good one. But no, I have no clue. Who are people saying?
Who are saying?
Mari with maybe, her ear to the ground.
I know. There's like lots of wishful thinking, but it's like Candice LeRae. I don't know who Claudio is.
Claudio is the main, like Claudio, like that's on the men's side. That's Cesaro.
Why are they putting it?
Cesaro.
Oh, duh.
Claudio.
Why would they put him under the female? Anyway,
somebody got confused. Someone probably read Claudia and was like, oh, who's Claudia?
Somebody's like Tegan Knox. It's just like a lot of just random guesses. Oh, God. Somebody said Tessa Blanchard.
I don't plan.
But I think a lot of it is her again. Right. I think a lot of it is Ember Moon. I think we're only Ember Moon, Athena.
It makes sense. I mean, because like, where is she? I think she's the one with this roster where I've heard the most people say, like, give her the spot. Yeah. Lots of thoughts on Ember Moon. Yeah. We'll talk about Ember Moon.
I can't see Ember Moon beating Britt Baker. I can't see Britt Baker not advancing.
I think that the Joker will come in and somehow Britt Baker will get the win. She has her people. She has Jamie Hayter. She has not Beth. What's her name? Reba or Rebel?
No.
Yeah. So I think that Britt's gonna win there somehow.
All right. Let's move
on.
Sometimes the Joker can't.
Yeah, sometimes the Joker won't, you know, be the one who gets over and advances. And then there's the men's. Yeah, we have Ray. Well, I'll just run through it. You know, we have Ray Phoenix versus Kyle O'Reilly over on the left side. Samoa Joe versus the Joker, also on the left side. And then on the right, Jeff Hardy and Darby Allin, and also Adam Cole versus Dax Hardwood. I think that already happened. Did both of those already happen?
Yeah, they both already happened.
I know Jeff beat Darby, but I wasn't
sure. Okay, yeah.
So Jeff advanced, and then Adam Cole advanced.
Yeah. And then the whole thing with like Dax Hardwood, that Dax Hardwood and Cash Wheeler had the really good match just to get into the tournament. Really good match. So
this is such a strange tournament. I'll just say, like, just maybe to like jump ahead to it. I, of everyone in this tournament, I think it'd be nice if Kyle O'Reilly.
I was thinking that wins too,
because Jeff Hardy should not, like, one, he is a marvel of like science. Like, I don't even know how he's around. Good for him. I'm happy for him, but he can't win this one because he's Jeff Hardy. Like, he doesn't need it. Kyle O'Reilly though would be an interesting win here for the tournament. And he's also part of the
Ray Phoenix though, which is great.
Is that tough to do? Not to drag Phoenix. I mean,
relatively tough.
And then the Joker is the big question mark here. I have no clue who the Joker could be.
Yeah, well, some people are saying Johnny Gargano, Claudio, aka I literally forgot Cesaro.
He left too.
Yeah.
I will say though that he could really, you know what? I'll take back what I said about Kyle O'Reilly, even though it would be great to see him potentially win. This is the one where I could see the Joker winning, like the men's side. Maybe it's because Britt Baker is not right there as the obstacle. But yeah, like throw in Claudio as the winner of this. He's a good like representative of the Owen Hart legacy, I think. And I think that's important, whoever wins the first time around. sponsored by the Owen Hart Foundation, by the way. So like, it does have to be someone who's a good representative of that legacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's just so many. Yeah. I mean, there's just so many options. So
there's so many men in wrestling.
Yeah. Do they, are there any like other sticks for this? Do you know? I can't remember. I'm not sure. I guess
we'll, I don't know. Every time
let us just, know, like, guys. Yeah, like, if there's any, Omaha like State. Once they win, is there anything else? Like, let us know.
Yeah, well, Pride.
Yeah, I mean, yes, and representing Owen Hart and all that.
Let us know. We know. Let us know that you know is basically the
let us.
Because we definitely already know.
Right.
Anything else that we have to talk about? What's the...
No.
Is that everything with AEW?
That's everything. I mean, I know we did want to give a shout out to the baddie section. Jade and Kira Hogan and Red Velvet. I know, Jade pissed some people off. A few weeks ago when she called everybody in Pittsburgh ugly. Yeah.
And Philadelphia too.
Was it Philadelphia?
She was like, look, Philly didn't show up or something like that. Or some people were in the comments like, no, Jade, the Philly girls are actually from Jersey. And it was just like a whole thing.
What?
It was a whole. Well, people were not pissed. It's her and her gimmick.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. The Pittsburgh one did piss some people off because.
What did she say about the
Pittsburgh? She said something like, ooh, it's hard to. Or she said, the people in Pittsburgh are really ugly. It's like, she like. And you know, I saw it as I'm wearing my Baltimore shirt as a Baltimore Ravens fan. I found nothing wrong with the statement, but a lot of people were pissed. I guess that her delivery on that one was not good, and it backfired a little bit. So she was in a little bit of hot water for.
I didn't even realize.
Yeah,
that
she was.
This like, happened.
Yeah.
Like legitimately even, hot water. Wow.
With some of the fans, like some of the her, you know, her main fan base, like black women, it was like,
yeah, but yeah, I guess I didn't hear what she said, so I have to go back and look it up. But it must not have been good. People were actually offended by a heel saying some heel stuff. So, look, Jade, just be glad that you have the baddie section. That is beautiful. I love Jade Cargill. I love that theme song. I just love the whole package. And Smart Mark Sterling is still there. Keep him around. Yeah. That man's loyal.
Exactly. Smart Mark Sterling is hilarious. Yeah. I'm trying to see if I can find the Pittsburgh tweet. Cause it was really blunt. I'm not gonna lie. And it was, and I thought that was the funniest thing about it, but again,
it was a tweet. Yeah, but you know, Jade knows how to.
Which I see what you're saying. She said, "Philly baddies, tag them. Please let them be better than Pittsburgh."
Yeah,
was tough pickings. I'm sorry, guys.
Is that the thing that got people upset?
That was the follow. That was her doubling down. Like she
okay. Yeah, that's what I thought.
She doubled down on Pittsburgh, which
because I remember seeing that one.
Kind of very hilarious to me.
Pittsburgh is a lovely city, Mari. It's wonderful. And people are incredible people, beautiful people. How dare you, Jade Cargill?
So I think that's about it.
I love Jade.
I think that is about it.
I want to be in the baddie section, Mari.
Oh, okay. I found it. She said, man, Pittsburgh has some ugly people.
I mean, everywhere has ugly people.
All right. So that's it. That's it. Woo. Every day we come on here and try not to get canceled.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
So let's get into the shoot, because we got to get into this.
Oh, yeah. We have a shoot. Oh,
God, we got to go. Yes, we got to
Let's go.
Stretch it out. Yeah, we got to go. So this is the shoot.
Each week? Or whenever we want.
Or whenever we want to, we talk about a real life occurrence that happens in wrestling that either like really grinds our gears or something we just want to talk about. So we want to talk about Ember Moon. Ember Moon gave a,
Athena as much as possible. No, I'm just like, it's hard for me because I keep thinking of her as Ember Moon, and Ember Moon is such a distinct name.
It is.
That looks like.
My rule of thumb is like until like she debuts as you know, because she's still technically in debut limbo, so that's why I was just referring to her as Ember Moon. Yeah.
I think she's been on indies a little, but I have not.
Oh, has she?
I don't think it's been anything too notable or anything like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Probably so in Texas, you know her.
Texas. Yeah. Girl. Exactly.
Texas.
There. So. Athena was talking about some of the meetings that she had in WWE, and I think the main clip that went viral. Yeah, she said she had to sit through stupid meetings about how they had to dress sexy.
She said, "I'm not about to wear fishnet booty butt cheek shorts." This is quite the sentence, by the way. Mm-hmm. I'm not about to wear fishnet booty butt cheek shorts because we had a 2-hour meeting about how to dress like Mandy Rose. That's not fair. Mandy is absolutely phenomenal and an amazing person, but not everyone is Mandy Rose.
It's very fair.
That's literally just a fact.
That last comment, like, I think got lost by the wayside because all of the headlines were like, the headlines were like Ember Moon basically. It kind of sounded like they made it sound like she dissed Mandy Rose. Like Ember Moon didn't want to dress like Mandy Rose. Like they're two distinctly different people. Like of course they're not gonna want to.
Thing I remember that I want to kind of also mention with this and Ember, I do remember reading this at some point. I don't know if it was after this initial interview or as part of it, but she was saying like, look, my thing is I am packaged for kids. Like I'm not, my goal is not to be sexy. It's to be very kid friendly. And I never really thought about that with Ember Moon, but like
me neither.
1000% makes sense. And you could see it where it's like, okay, this is like the nerdier, relatable, more sci-fi, again, child friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And you need that in wrestling. Not everybody is Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose is great at what she does, but not everyone is going to be that in her.
We'll link the story in our description, but Ember Moon, it was like a interview. She talked about her last 4 months in WWE, and it's like, it's so bad. It's like they're exactly what we thought they were in a sense. Like she talks about how basically the rug just kept getting pulled out from under her, like consistently and continuously. Like she was talking about how her and Shotzi were rolling, and then all of a sudden she gets a call. Shotzi got pulled up to the main roster, and she's like, oh, okay, that's great. Shotzi not only got pulled up to the main roster, but she got pulled up the main roster with Tegan Nox as her tag team partner, which Ember was like, well, that's kind of weird. So not like Shotzi went up to be a solo act. It's like she went up to be a tag team with Tegan Nox, even though she was in a tag team with Ember. And I distinctly remember us talking about this and being like, what? They had just competed on NXT like the week before. They were just champions like the week before, and Ember in her interview was like, we have merch out. it truly didn't make sense, but they told her, yeah, it's okay. Shotzi got pulled up, but we have something for you. So she's like, okay, cool. Then she goes and meets with Hunter. They think that they're going to get some stuff ready for her. And she's like, they were going to turn her heel. She talks about how she wanted to do like a losing streak. I love a good losing streak into a heel turn. That's my jam, but she's like, they filmed the first one or she lost to, I don't even know who she lost to, but then they took her off of TV for 3 weeks. Like that's not how you book that. And then they had her work with Cora Jade on 205 Live and they really liked that. And they put her in a match versus Mandy Rose. And they were like, well, this is where we're going to do the turn. Mind you, she had been like pulled on and off of TV. She hadn't got to do the losing streak before they wanted to turn her heel. But even that, they were kind of like, oh, but we kind of like want to slow burn it. So when they kind of turn her heel, we didn't know. She didn't even know if she would turn heel, because why would you turn Ember Moon heel on Mandy Rose?
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense like that.
No.
She was talking about how when she first talked to the writers, how those writers had just came from SmackDown and Raw. And they didn't even know she was formerly a tag team NXT tag team champion. Like they didn't even. Yeah, what? They weren't even watching NXT. She said,
yeah, but you know what? That makes sense, too, because we talked more about in the times of Kenise Mobley. That was a moment almost a year ago about how. Like they were not looking to hire people who were fans. So maybe that's not that all that surprising.
Yeah. I mean, not just people that are fans, but like those writers were coming from SmackDown and Raw, they said. So they weren't even watching NXT. Their old writers weren't watching NXT. So,
oof.
Yeah, right. So she was just talking about how.
We watch NXT and we don't even work there.
Exactly. And how like it just kept getting stuttered and stopped. And then like I said, then Hunter disappeared. We were talking about that shakeup behind NXT and all of that. And then she was told that one day she was told like, oh yeah, Vince wants you to go back. We're going to turn you heel. But when we want you to go back to dye your hair, the fire colors and get the contacts, we're going to do that. So she said she did all of this stuff to get her hair, which costs lots of money, takes a lot of time. Then she showed up at TV and they pulled her segment. And then they not only pulled her segment, but then they told her that they were going to take her off TV indefinitely. And then they asked her to like coach and stuff like that. And that was another part of the interview that got more like the Mandy Rose stuff got a lot of play. And then her talking about how, no, I'm not going to be a trainer. I don't want to train these people, especially since some of these people don't even care about wrestling like I do. Like that got a lot of stuff without people like going back and looking at some of that stuff about them like yanking her chain and stuff. Totally. And it's just, for me, it's just it's a pattern. Like I'm seeing a pattern when black women leave. Yeah. The pattern is when black women leave their prospective employers and they, you know, talk about their true feelings about WWE a la, you know, Big Swole, like they get a whole bunch of backlash, but like, let a man do it, you know, let a Daniel Bryan or an Adam Cole or a CM Punk air out their grievances about WWE. And it's like,
yes, King,
they love it. You know, like Ember Moon got shredded for shredding WWE. Like how, like normally if anybody says anything bad about WWE, people eat that shit up. And even that was like, even they were like, nah, like, oh, she's so entitled. Like they asked her to be a trainer and she's so entitled about not wanting to train the next generation. What kind of attitude is that? It's like,
she's still very
young. Please. Like she still has passion for wrestling. If she doesn't want to be a trainer, she doesn't need to be a trainer. You know what I'm saying? Like
if she doesn't want to do the job that they want her to do, then she doesn't need to do that job. She's like, we have at will employment. You know, she's allowed to move on. They're allowed to get rid. Like she doesn't need to do it. And it's sad though, because at the end of the day, the thing that I always come back to, and you know, it's so hard to talk about because it's really hard to pin this on people, but like people will take any excuse to say, you know, just to be hard on, we're talking about black women here.
Yeah.
People take an excuse to be hard on black women, but also you'll see this with other, you know, people of color or other black people where it's like you do the smallest thing and then the reaction ends up being like so much worse than exactly. And it's like, and then like the people trashing you and it's like, oh, you just wanted to be angry at a black woman today. You wanted a reason to get your racism out. today, mm-hmm. and you're using Ember Moon for that. You're using Kenese Mobley for that. You're using, mm-hmm. you know, insert Big performer Swole here and mm-hmm. Big Swole for that. And it's so transparent, but mm-hmm. but they just don't, like, when we start to talk about that and say that's the reason why they're coming for her, then we're the ones who are talking too much about race and not, mm-hmm. you know, I don't say us as in the wrestling rehab up, mm-hmm. but like Black people and other people of color are talking too much about race when we point out something that is clearly tied to race really? And to gender. And then it's annoying when you have people like freaking Booker T, who I'm done with. I'm done with Booker mm-hmm. T. I've been done with Booker T. I thought mm-hmm. that there are lots of reasons to be done with Booker T. The last few weeks, ever since his comments here, which I'll talk about in a second, I've been even thinking back to myself about the whole Booker T Triple H storyline from like 20 years ago. And that makes me uncomfortable because there were a lot of racial undertones there that happened. And like, you know, whatever, I'm not even going to go there. What I will say is Booker T heard what Ember Moon said about this, about not wanting to dress sexy, you know, mentioning Mandy Rose. And he said, I don't know why she made comments throwing in Mandy Rose's name. Why? I don't know why she put Mandy Rose's name out there. Like some meetings, you leave those backstage. WWE doesn't want that to get out there, is essentially what he was saying. And he's like, I understand you voicing your opinion, but leave Mandy Rose out of it. And mm-hmm. like, dude, you are doing the same thing that you are accusing Ember of doing. She mentioned Mandy Rose. One, she wasn't even critical of Mandy Rose in any way. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, handle your business backstage, keep the backstage. And you are giving an interview publicly, talking publicly, wherever the heck it was, about mm-hmm. Ember. And it's like, you know each other well, like you trained her,
that's her mentor, like
that background. So why can't you just call her and text her and have that conversation? But instead you are now telling her not to air her business publicly because you apparently think it's okay for you to tell this young Black woman about how and where she could express herself. But then you also feel the need to then talk about, like, you are talking about her, you just keep like, what is going through Booker T's mashed potato brains? Like, I don't want to know what's happening then, but it is a mess. And it's just so hypocritical. Like, I don't understand why he feels the need to step in and say anything about Ember, because all it manages to do, it's similar to what I think about with what's his name? Powerhouse Hobbs over in AEW with Big Swole. It's like, you're just discrediting a Black woman in this case, and you're fueling the people who are against her. It is sad. I feel so bad that she had like that.
Ooh, yeah, but this is it. Death taxes and Booker T caping and tapping, chucking and jiving. Like he you think he would have learned about his comments about Naomi. And you know what I'm saying? He's always.
What did he say about Naomi? Did he say she didn't work hard enough? Did she say that? What did he say? I know, I already know Booker. What did he say about her?
When you know, Naomi deserves a chance, like when Naomi was trending, because you know, she always is trending, like back when in 2020 when she was trending, Booker was like, all these hashtags, they're not going to do anything, and nobody deserves a chance, you know.
It's almost you get like,
merit. Like, it's like, what? It's so, yeah,
it makes me uncomfortable though.
Yeah, he seems to do that a lot, especially when it comes to the Black women. I can't remember if he had if he said something about Sasha as well. He used to be on record for like not liking Sasha. So like,
but it's outside of I don't even need to do this to detach the racial dynamics of it, mm-hmm. because those are a big factor in this. And just in, you know, in how we are talking about and how we perceive this story, but like, just stay out of people's business, Booker T. Like, you don't need to get in the women's business and tell them what they should and shouldn't be saying. That to me is just the other piece of this where it's like, nobody asked. And even if someone asked, you need to kind of take your own advice and just not say anything and just don't get in the middle of it, but you can't help it because I don't know why you feel like you need to get in the middle of it.
It's that very, very old school elder, like black statesman who's like, you know, the assimilation is real. Get along to get along. And it's just it's shut like the respectability hell up.
Politics.
Yes. Too. Shut the hell up, Booker T. Like, we don't need this. You like you said, that's, you have Ember's number. So you did not have to do this. You know what I'm saying? You did not have to do this. And I'm against anybody who is against people expressing themselves, you know?
Yeah.
Like we said, if John Moxley can go on Jericho's podcast and, you know, say everything that he said about WWE, you know, if CM Punk can do that, like I said, was it Sheeta or was it Riho who came out after Swole did and basically said the exact same, it was Riho, I think.
Yeah.
It was Riho. Who said the exact same thing about, what Swole was saying. Like, anybody can express why they left the job. You know, I don't like it. Like, in interviews, I'm fine with it. Like, bringing it to TV is kind of annoying, you know, with the little jabs on TV. Like, that to me is very annoying, but like, people have freedom to express themselves and their, you know, their experiences. So this was truly, truly not needed. And he could really kiss my ass. Like,
I was going to say he could kick rocks, but he could do all of it. And, you know, it is sad. It is really sad because I think for a lot of us, you know, Booker T was, I'll at least say for me, Booker T was really, I don't say that he was like powerful representation, but like we didn't have many options. We didn't have many options, and Booker T was really up there. And I even remember my dad would talk about Booker T and mention him, you know, and like, how's Booker T doing? And blah, 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 blah. You know, and it was just like, it's like you're disappointing. And that's really it. And I just don't have the energy to even be upset with him. I just kind of want him to go and just like go away. We don't need him around anymore. I hope he's happy in his retirement with his training school and all. But
yeah, and to continue his quote, he said, like I say, I understand wanting to voice your opinion, but I'm not going to throw Mandy Rhodes on the bus or anything like that because of the way she's going out there and doing her work. If that's the way the company wants the direction to go. To go in, okay, that's the way they want to go, and that's not my choice. I'm not down with it. Check me out. I'm not down with it. It's just as simple as that, really, as far as I'm concerned. Like, nowhere in that statement did Ember Moon throw Mandy Rose under the bus. Like,
and then, but the thing is, like, Booker T is being on, don't air things publicly, don't put it out there. And then, like, he goes on to reference his own fight backstage, maybe 15 or so, almost 20 years ago with Batista, where he's like, back in the day when I fought Batista, you know, he's talking about how he didn't address it publicly or air it publicly. And it's like, dude, you are literally talking in a forum that's public now about the situation you had. So,
but also, I just don't understand back then too.
And it was a different time. And it's like, literally, regardless of what he experienced, it's completely different than what people today experience. It's a completely different wrestling world and landscape. So he's just tired, you know, he's tired. And
it's done.
He needs to go to sleep.
Exactly.
He needs to go to sleep. Yeah.
So that's it for the shoot. That's it for the wrestling rap, but we need to get out of here. Like, that was
what the heck? Why are we on here for
It was so much. If you're still here, thank you for hanging out with us. Matt, what do you got going on?
Okay, let me tell the people where they could find me. So you could find me at Matt Scott GW. Hit me on the Twitters. You could find me recently talking about Heartstopper over on Post Show Recaps with Stella Skews You, Grace Leader. Great show. Great podcast experience with Grace. So definitely check that out. You could also find me. There's exciting stuff coming up in June. You could find me over on the Pod Friends coming back in June sometime. So stay tuned for the exact dates of that because I need to record interviews still. And another, I won't spoil it, but there's a another project that's focused on kind of Pride Month. And that's all I'll say, but something that we're working on, that I'm working on with someone for RHAP. So stay tuned for that. Also coming in June. And then on top of all of that, bam, this week I, for my work, I had a podcast come out for Nat Geo. And it's called The Greening of Pittsburgh, featuring the beautiful people of Pittsburgh.
There you go.
Gorgeous and also smart and great at climate solutions stuff. So check that out. That's my pinned tweet over on Twitter, Matt Scott GW. But so much going on. I'm just happy to be back on the Wrestling Rehab up, Mari, which is probably why we're going so long. Nearly 3 hours, just like old times.
Just like old times. So you can find me over on Post Show Recaps, where me, Chappelle, and LaTanya are finishing up Atlanta tomorrow. The next episode will be about the penultimate episode of season 3 of Atlanta. So go check that out. You can also find me and Sarah Carradine right here on RHAP. Wow. On Crime Scene. Yes, every week we bring True Crime Tuesdays to RHAP. Please, if you haven't listened to our last episode, why haven't you? We reviewed The Painter and the Thief. Every week we review true crime properties and give our recommendations. And we had a great guest, Sarah D. Bunting, on this week. And we talked about a property that might be a little bit further removed from true crime. But it was very interesting. Go hear our thoughts on it. If you like emotional, human story style documentaries, check out The Painter and the Thief. It's available on, I think, Hulu here in the States. And then go listen to us talk about it. Very interesting property. You can follow us at Crime Scene. Go to Twitter at Crime Scene RHAP. That's CRIMESEENRHAP. That's Crime Scene, like SEEN, on Twitter. And then you can go subscribe to the Crime Scene feed by going to robhasawebsite.com/crimefeed to go listen to me and Sarah. It's been a wild ride. It's been so great. So, you know, continue on the path with us. And Wrestling Rehab is back. I'm glad to be back with you, Matt. I'm
glad to be back.
Truly am. So hopefully you've already subscribed to the Wrestling Rehab up, but if you haven't, go to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed to subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts. Send us any long form questions. Send them to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. You can email them to us. And then of course, hopefully you're following us on Twitter at Wrestling Rehab up on Twitter using the hashtag Wrestling Rehab up to join the conversation. And of course, like we said, hopefully also, if you're on Facebook, come join us on the Job Has a Squadcast Facebook group. I keep telling everybody, like, that's where we get some discussions going. That's where we get the questions. It's a great, great, like, little community there that we love to, like, dip in and out of.
You could interact with the people, like, literally when we mention people on the podcast, those are real people, and you could interact with them in the Facebook group. And I think, as Mari was about to say, hit us up at Mari Talks, at Matt Scott GW. Let us know that you want to be part of the group. You could even email us wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. Let us know, but we will get you into the exclusive club, the job club, I'll call it.
Exactly. So, Matt, it's been great to be back. I am so excited to dive in next week. So until next week, remember, wrestling is for everybody, but not all wrestling is for everyone. Bye. Bye.
Up, lay it down, just a Matt Amari. Wrestling Little Rehab Up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every week, and it's feeling like a party. Moolah Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, flush it in the air, huh? Roman Reigns, and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw them up, lay it down, just a Matt Mari. Wrestling over half ups, gonna make it sorry. Feeling like the Rock, cause I'm driving the Ferraris. You'll be coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.